Talk Live.
And we're back.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live for those of you just tuning in. If you've never heard of our program, why, please visit freetalklive.com for more information. We're a live radio call-in program where you can call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. We're going to talk about stuff. We always prepare for our shows with many things to talk about. And
many things.
Today is no exception.
What is today?
Today is, oh man, in Spanish, it's Cinco de Mayo. And I think that translates that directly to the 5th of May.
May 5th. Yeah. That's all it means. Yeah. It's like 4th of July, but Spanish.
It's 4th of July.
What do you celebrate?
What's right. Spanish for July?
Julio?
Julio?
Cuatro de Julio?
Something like that.
Cuatro de Julio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't roll off the tongue unless you go roll your R's.
Roll your R's, right, yes.
Yeah. Ocho de Mayo.
That's what I celebrate. If you join my cult, we don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo, it's Ocho de Mayo.
It is amateur night, so those of you who are drinking and driving tonight, please don't.
Watch out for other people who are drinking and driving.
You'll likely survive if
there
you
are,
do.
Right. There are on these drinking holidays, such as Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's Day, New Year's Eve even. Right? There are a whole bunch of people who don't drink with any regularity. They have low tolerances. They overdo it. And then they get out on the roads. So that's what I mean by amateur night. The amateurs are out, so watch out, buckle up, all that kind of good stuff. Designated driver, Uber, right? All that kind of stuff.
Sheriff.
Because that's safer? If the Uber hits a drunk guy, you're still going to die in an Uber.
Right, but if the Uber guy gets pulled over by the cops, he's getting the DUI, not you.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Or she, or right. It.
All right.
You know. Back the blue and all
they,
that.
They, them.
Yeah. Huh.
Was, were.
It's... My super pronoun for everyone is just it.
Okay.
What did it say? Right? Whether, you know, I know what your gender is or not, it doesn't matter.
I used to get yelled at for that. Yeah. When someone had like a new baby. I'm like, what's it doing now?
What is it?
What's it?
It's not an it. It's a he.
Captain's log, star date 0505-2024. So far, so good. Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
Yeah. What have you guys been up to?
About 170, 175. Yeah.
You've got pounds.
I'm pushing it.
Yeah. You probably shouldn't get any
I had pizza thinner. Last week.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't get any thinner, right?
No, well.
You're pretty thin now.
What's the perfect size for a male?
A male?
A man.
A man?
Well, that depends.
Well, I don't know.
Is your mom asking or are you asking?
No, I'm just saying. Like,
is your wife asking? I don't know.
If you were like, if you were sculpting the perfect male specimen.
Right? I don't know if it's height, a weight thing.
Height and weight. Well, height and weight.
Height and weight. It's like 6 foot, I don't know, 180?
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
I have no idea.
All right.
Couldn't even tell you.
Even when I like would do sketches or whatever, I used to do. I was a fan of like superhero comics.
Yep.
And so I would draw these like, you know, muscle bound looking, you know, superhero types or whatever, and they were always disproportionate, like giant shoulders and chest, but like tiny legs,
okay,
almost no torso, you know,
right,
or very V shaped. Right. Mm-hmm. It looks like one of those memes where like the dog's all like buff or whatever.
I don't know the name of the
it's
meme.
It's one of the crypto memes where, like, they show the dog,
Peppy
the little
coin?
Dog,
no.
But then, like,
Doge
they show
coin?
The big dog, like, he's all buffed out. Like, anyway, that's fine.
I mean, I might be able to picture the meme, but I'm not drawing, like, what it's called.
It's not important.
Yeah. Okay.
But I, like, even when I work for the sports entertainment company,
yes,
we'll have guests in, or you'll see the event, and they'll say, weighing in at, you know, 200 pounds.
It's a big midget.
And, you know, like, wow, he's like weighs as much as I do, but he's like super jacked up.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Yeah,
so the muscles weigh more than the fat.
No, it makes me angry when like, you know, like the NFL, they're like the linebacker is 6'4", but he weighs what I do. And I'm like, oh, man, I am really overweight.
Yeah.
So I don't know how recent his comments were, but Hulk Hogan just said something similar, right? Like wrestlers today look like normal people. Like when I broke into the business in the 80s. you'd go into the locker room and like two of the guys sitting there looked like serial killers and the other guy was like a big jacked up muscle dude, and then next to him was like Harley Race,
right,
and then he was like, and they told you when you walked in there that in order for you to like make money and eat, you're gonna be taking food off of that dude's plate. You know? And that's how like cutthroat it was. Ooh. And then now wrestlers look like us or smaller.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm a heavyweight by modern standards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Like I'd get
I mean, there's a couple of big guys.
I would
get
destroyed by a real heavyweight.
Right. I mean, there are fat wrestlers like Otis, who's he's 6 feet in all directions.
Yes.
But there are guys who are probably weigh just as much as him.
They're tall.
But they're tall and muscular.
Yes.
So I don't know if the weight thing is it or the muscle thing is it or
well,
the
acrobatics
or whatever.
Well, that's why height and weight, you know, like height and weight, you said 6 foot, 180. Like that's ideal. Okay. That's fair.
I just, I'm not a doctor, but.
Well, so.
I, however, am. No, you're only you honorable.
The honorable.
So for me, it's the ideal, like, you know, if you're going to, like, this is the peak. Right, like 6'5", 270.
Oh.
If I was like 6'5", 270, like,
that's
forget
your
about
ideal.
It. That's my ideal.
Oh.
Now, 6'5", 270, if you put it in like to a BMI thing, that dude's obese. Right, but you see it on an athlete, and they're like, no, that's peak performance right there.
Right, right. And the other thing to take into account, too, muscle weighs more than fat.
I get
so,
it.
So, like, I mean, I'm just thinking of my own, like, stuff, right? I'm like, yeah, that's right.
But if I scale it down to, like, my height... Right, if I'm going to be like my height, because I can't control my height, but I can control muscle mass and weight.
Yeah,
right. I think it was my height and around like 180 or so. I'm like, okay, that's doable.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not fat. I'm just short for my weight.
You're not fat. You're fit.
I'm in shape. Round is a shape. Qualified.
Fits into maternity clothes.
Please call in now and save us, please.
There is no evidence of the captain in maternity clothes that I'm aware of.
It's just the extra elastic around the waist, man. That's all I'm going for.
Could be an AI program that could come up with that.
What is it when you start wearing sweatpants, you've just given up? Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Jogging suit or something like that?
Yeah.
I did that for a while. There was a website called like the Gray Sweatsuit Revolution.
Yeah.
And it went on for like a summer, and I found it late, but I did it for like 2 years. Yeah. And that's all I wore.
A gray sweatsuit?
Just gray sweats.
Oh.
To everywhere but work, because I got to go to work.
Yeah.
One of my...
But it's gray sweatsuit and kung fu slippers.
One of my bass players used to wear the striped jogging suit sweatpants.
Like the Sopranos?
Yeah, like two gigs, right? And because they're comfortable, right? Like sometimes when you're on stage, like... The look doesn't really matter. You just want to be comfortable for the gig, right? You know, and so he took that to an extreme, and so he would wear the two or three striped jogging pants, and then he had the matching jacket to go with it too. So that when the gig was done and he had cooled down, he'd put the jacket back on,
and then went back to his day job in the Russian mafia.
No, at some point, somebody like at a show came up to me and they're like, who's that guy behind your merch table? Is he like dealing drugs or something? Because that's what the drug dealers were wearing at the time. It was all the super popular and all the movies and TV to like wear the striped running suits, you know? And like, no, that's my bass player.
It was either Adidas or Fila.
I got Fila flip flops. I got Filas. Oh, no, I got FUBU.
Put on the bucket hat.
FUBUs.
And I'm Fila. We should probably start the show, huh?
It's about that time.
Yeah, okay.
Before the first break.
We've vamped long enough to...
It's raining gold. Hallelujah. Raining gold. That's right.
Goldbacks.
From UPI.com. Active volcano in Antarctica spews tiny crystals of gold worth $6,000 a day.
Wow.
Peter Schiff is going nuts.
Oh, I know. He's probably booking a helicopter right to that volcano.
I told you guys. I told you.
Did you guys see the Mad Max? What's the
Furiosa?
Furiosa, yeah. When the head bad guy sort of releases the water onto the peasants. All the peasants are standing there down below the cliff, holding out their hubcaps or vases whatever.
That was just Mad Max Fury Road. Fury Road is the new one.
Fury Road is the one I'm talking about.
Right.
Where the people are holding out all the pans or whatever. I imagine that happening near this volcano.
Okay.
Where when this thing it's spewing out whatever, and people are just like hoping to catch
Some getting hit with lava rock, just burning a hole in their forearms, but right. screw it.
But you might get, you know, $6,000. All right. We don't know. Right?
If Peter Schiff lets you in, he's got the place surrounded.
It sounds like a dream. It's from the article now. But it's true. In Antarctica, gold rains from the sky.
Wow.
I just love that. It's nice to think about. You know, I've done panhandling, like actual for gold in like South Dakota.
Okay.
Right? Cool. You know, where you go to a river
I've
that's
done it at
downstream.
Knott's Berry Farm.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I don't mean panhandling as in like I drew on a piece of cardboard and stood at the off ramp.
Yeah. Right. Will work for
no,
food.
There's an attraction at Knott's Berry Farm. You can pan for gold.
Okay.
And you get to keep the little gold nuggets that.
Is it actual gold?
Yeah.
So.
It's probably that bubble gum.
Do they sort of add gold to the thing?
They must.
Because
it's an attraction. They must.
Yeah, right. It doesn't seem like that would be a...
I've got like a little vial of like two little gold nuggets that are just...
That you found there?
Well, I panhandled for it, yeah.
Yeah.
It costs like $5 and then you like keep whatever you get.
That's cool.
And you probably got like $2 worth of gold.
Probably. It doesn't matter. It's the experience.
Yeah. tucked among the glaciers, fiery Mount Erebus or Erebus. I'm not sure how to pronounce this.
Erebus?
E-R-E. B-U-S.
It's better than Boeing.
Erebus.
Better than Boeing.
Yeah, I'm going to call it Erebus.
Antarctica, that's close to Argentina, right? Like Javier Milei should get in on this.
That's on planet Earth, right?
The flat Earth.
I mean, I don't know my South American geography, but the tip is real close to Antarctica, man.
Right. The end of the Earth.
Sure.
Antarctica is the end of the Earth.
That's where the wall is.
Yeah, the giant ice wall.
I'm just saying, if you're an ANCAP president and you have quick access to a volcano spewing gold.
He could beat Peter Schiff.
And you're trying to build your country up.
Right.
You know, get off the gold, get off the, you know, the
American
socialist
dollar.
Standard and get, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Maybe you go get some of this volcanic gold.
Mount Erebus is the southernmost active volcano on Earth, providing a bit of heat amidst the frozen landscape. The frozen continent features 138 volcanoes, according to a 2017 study, with around 9 of them reported as active. With a summit elevation of 12,448 feet, that's 3,794 meters for you,
you
non-imperial measurers, Mount Erebus is the most well-known. Erebus is one of three volcanoes that form Ross Island.
Free Ross.
Free Ross. Hashtag.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be a much better name. It's certainly better than Schiff Island. And it said that it was erupting when it was discovered in 1841 during the voyage of Captain James Clark Ross.
Wait, how old is this news article?
It's written in the 1800s.
It's been erupting gold for 150 years.
No wonder why you can't
go
to Antarctica.
April 25th of 1924.
Okay.
No, it's 2024. Let's see. It was Captain James Clark Ross. Like, I partially brought this in because they name a captain.
Captain.
And I'm a real fan of this kind of thing.
All right.
Who carried out important magnetic surveys in the Arctic and Antarctic. And he discovered the Ross Sea and the Victoria Land
region. Was it called
the
Ross Sea when he discovered it?
It was just the sea.
Just the sea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he also discovered the Victoria Land region of Antarctica.
Wow. And he didn't name it the Ross region of Antarctica?
HMS Erebus was the name of one of his ships. So he probably ran out of stuff, right?
Okay.
You know, like, well, I already called something James. I better call something Clark. Better call something Ross.
At
better...
the corner of Ross Street and Ross Avenue, you'll find Ross's.
Yeah.
Gold better, Emporium.
Better name the sea after me, but we'll name the land after my ship, right? You know, what else can we name after?
Down
right?
the street from Rossville is Rosstown.
Yeah, over here we have the Ross Dam.
Yes.
Ross Arctica.
Scientists still observe the volcano through the Mount Erebus Volcano Observatory.
The Volcano Observatory?
Yes. And conduct field campaigns to look for extreme life forms.
Extreme life forms?
Like libertarians? What do they mean? Extreme life forms.
Free penguins?
The largest Antarctic settlement, McMurdo Station.
Oh, man.
Yes, MC Murdo, M-U-R-D-O. Station operated by the United States,
of course.
Oh, it's pronounced McMurdero. Then I see. my bad. Operated by the United States is located about 25 about 25 south of Mount Erebus, 25 something
right.
south. They didn't.
It's probably there to tax the gold that's coming out of the volcano.
And is within sight of the volcano. It's checking for KYC right. and AML compliance right. with the volcano. So if you visit there. Right.
You can't leave with more than $10,000 worth of volcanic gold.
What the hell are you
So I'm going to read you a headline because it's funny.
Okay.
And then we're not going to talk about it. But it's, can a rare Hawaiian mushroom really give women a spontaneous orgasm? And apparently it's a mushroom that only grows in like lava rock. So if you're talking about like rare organisms.
Extreme life forms.
Extreme life forms.
Wow.
Maybe they find more of this in Antarctica.
Or perhaps Uncle Arctica has just hidden it all. Uncle
Arctica. He's been searching his whole life for this spontaneous orgasm. It is a mystery to him and all his progeny.
What if it works on dudes?
That would just be messy.
They show some satellite images of
just
Mount
go get a good
Erebus.
Massage.
Satellite images of the volcano reveal a lava lake that's been bubbling since at least 1972.
Ross Lake.
According to IFL Science, the volcano regularly pumps out plumes of gas and steam and has been known to eject boulders of partially molten rock known as volcanic bombs. That sounds like a good band name.
Volcanic bombs?
Yeah.
Can't get your luggage on a plane.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, because you would have to spray your logo all over the flight cases.
It's BOMZ right? bombs.
Oh, yeah.
BOMZ. Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Volcanic with a Z.
Who's got the briefcase with the bombs on it? please report to security.
Ironically, if they have a bad show, it's just sort of expected because it's in the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
The bombs. The volcano regularly pumps out the volcanic bombs. And while volcanic bombs are exciting, according to this author.
I'll bet.
This almost sounds like the number two story.
It's the
also exciting bombs.
Also exciting.
Different kind of bomb.
If you need a fork to flush
a hot volcanic bomb.
Although the next statement
on Cinco
here,
de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
The next statement here could also be sort of, you know, applied to both. While volcanic bombs are exciting, it's the bursts of gas spraying tiny crystals of metallic gold.
Oh, perfect for Peter Schiff.
That surprise scientists who estimate the volcano spews around 80 grams of gold per day. That's worth around $6,000.
It's like $4,000 after taxes.
If you're going to be drinking tonight for Cinco de Mayo.
Goldschlager.
Like Goldschlager. Oh, and then give us a report of what happens in the morning.
Yeah. Tell us about the volcanic gas.
Spray it on spewing the back up. Of the porcelain bin.
Burst
$3 of gold.
$3 of gold.
The gold has been found hundreds of miles away.
Captain's
from,
over there with a hubcap.
Yeah,
totally. The gold has been found hundreds of miles away from Mount Erebus. Antarctic researchers have detected traces of the gold in ambient air up to 620 miles away from the volcano.
So you just breathe in gold?
Right.
Wow.
According to The Science.
Gold in your lungs?
Yeah, trust the science.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's in the ambient air, right, it's just particles floating.
So then couldn't you just, like, get some sort of a giant, you know, mesh that's like...
Use an N95 mask. Those pores are really small.
It'll catch all the gold.
It'll catch all the gold.
So a giant N95 mask.
Yes.
Towed between two aircraft, perhaps.
Okay.
You know, sort of hovering, an orbit, if you will, around the volcano. Yep.
Just snatching up all
snatching up all the $6,000 a day,
like a boat net catching tuna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except different.
Yep,
it'd be airplanes with a net in the air catching gold.
Gold, yes,
from a volcano.
It's the same theory, though. You just encircle it.
Yeah, but then of course government would pass laws against netting.
Well, yeah, then you'd have to stop at the U.S. station there.
You're killing too many insects with your net.
Yeah,
it's not good for the environment, Richie Rich.
It's okay. Just pay the fine in gold.
Right. It's legal at a cost.
All right. Well, that's it.
That was always the plan. Get rich enough to afford whatever like garbage the government's going to bring at you. Build up a war chest before they notice how big you've gotten, and then just
pay the fines. The hell with
Oh, I was trying to build up the belly, not the chest.
War chest.
War belly.
Is that what Worcestershire?
Worcestershire.
Worcester, as they say.
Worcestershire. Worcestershire.
But no, it's not war chest like W-A-R. Chest.
Right.
It's W-A-R. War.
Right. Worcestershire.
Could you have a war on Worcester?
You could.
Okay.
There probably has been one. Darn Bostonians.
If you are celebrating Cinco de Mayo, that's not the kind of sauce do you want to get tonight.
What kind of sauce do you want to get tonight?
You don't want to drink Worcester sauce. Like,
okay.
You're not going to, you know, but he's like, hey, man, want to do a shot of Worcester? No, I don't.
You know.
The hot Mexican, what is it, gross, with the clam juice?
Well, it's the hot Mexican hooker.
Drink?
It's not clam juice. It's water from a can of tuna mixed with
tuna fish juice.
Tuna fish juice mixed with.
Just tuna juice, man. Let's not be too redundant.
All right.
Mixed with tequila and Tabasco.
Okay.
Or your favorite hot sauce in a shot glass.
Cholula sauce or something.
Yeah.
When we were kids, before it was like cool enough to drink underage, I may have done it once or twice, but my friends did it way more often, was shots of like shoyu and vinegar.
Of what?
Shoyu and vinegar.
What
shoyu? Soy sauce and vinegar.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah, whatever.
Well.
Trains are you young.
Yeah, you can smoke banana peels, too.
Did you ever, like, hand a bottle of that to somebody? Like, I'll show you.
I mean, I have a bottle at home. That helps.
No, not really.
Made some chicken the other night with it.
It's probably pretty good.
It was delicious. Yeah.
Is this a boutique level of soy sauce?
No.
Is it?
It's more of a Hawaii thing.
Okay. So, but it's not bottom shelf, right?
I mean, there's different levels of soy sauce. Yeah. This is not the top level soy sauce.
Okay. All right.
I forget all the names that the Japanese have a whole bunch of different levels of soy sauce.
Yeah, you wouldn't do shots with high quality soy sauce.
No,
we do shots.
Yeah. But you also mix it with the vinegar.
Yeah.
Vine guy.
Yeah. Or lemon juice.
Ooh. Pucker up.
So, speaking of our number two story.
The number two story.
You know, because we already mentioned bursts of gas.
And spewing hot.
And volcanic bombs. We do have a number two story. We'll get to that a little bit later. Probably, you know, I don't know. Segment
Soon.
Number two.
Segment number
Soon.
Two.
Segment number
Stick
two.
Stick around for this one.
Because, yeah.
If you want to know what the number two story is, you just got to keep listening.
That's right. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. More coming up.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Called Vocalists Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live.
Please call in and save us.
From ourselves.
Please.
At 603-283-6160.
Call in enough and earn yourself a theme song.
Oh, yes.
Valid only on Sundays when Rich Rich is here.
No, you played it last night.
Not available in some states.
Yeah.
Taxes. No copyright infringements.
Taxes here. And fees may apply. Consult your local radio station for more information.
Or just call into this one.
Call this one. Yeah.
This is the one that'll earn you the theme song.
Any other rebroadcast or retransmission without permission from Free Talk Live.
You, of course, have to say that.
Why are we being all statist and stuff now? use it.
You've heard of AML and KYC? Well, what we're doing is CYA.
Oh, okay.
It's called CYA. You don't have to explain that one.
Learn that from the producer.
The producer. Yeah. We do have a special guest producer in the studio. For those of you who are watching over at like our Odyssey channel, our Twitch channel, or watch.freetalklive.com, any
it's on
of those
the
things.
Big one. You don't have to turn the camera.
So, founder of this program, Mark Edge, in the house.
It's Founder's Day.
Well, it's Cinco de Mayo, so no, it's not. But did you know that that stands for the 5th of May?
I do now. Thank you.
You learn something new on this program every Sunday night.
Brought to you by the number 5.
And the letter C.
Speaking of number 2.
The number 2 story.
Number 2 story.
We didn't even mention number 2 this segment yet.
You said number 5.
I know. Which, you know, if it's upside down, it kind of looks like a 5. We got to make it backwards too. But you know.
Number 2.
Isn't it the same upside down? It's the same upside down. Right?
2?
That's an 8.
Two.
Okay.
Upside down.
All right.
So turn it upside down and then invert it, and it kind of looks like a 5.
Yeah,
all
right.
Kind of. It's a stretch, but you know, go with me here.
All right.
This from, what the heck website is this? I've never seen
the number 2 website.
It's called Gothamist, like Gotham and Mist, but 1M.
Oh, I've heard of this site.
It says it's a nonprofit newsroom powered by WNYC. Whatever that is.
New York City.
New York City television.
New York City. Where the best salsa's made.
I was going to say, that's where they make salsa, right? Yeah. NYC lawmakers look to help pet owners do the right thing.
Pet owners.
With
pet owners.
Big poop bag bill.
Big poop bag?
With poop bag bill. Yeah, there's no
poop.
In there.
A poop bag.
Apparently, I saw the word big poop bag and I said it, but that's not actually written.
So okay. Right there at the headline, New York City lawmakers look to help. stop right there.
Well, they look to help. They just don't actually provide any help.
Right. They're looking to help, but they're not going to do anything except probably find someone.
Like, hey, look at all the ways we could help.
But we're going to
But we don't.
We're going to give you a ticket for your dog.
How did society, like, maybe I'm just too young for this. How did society get on with dogs pooping everywhere? Was that just?
I don't know. Everyone's crazy with the dogs.
People owned pets before you had to like poop, scoop your own pet poop.
So here's what happened at my house.
I don't think it was a problem.
Here's what happened at my house or one of the houses that I grew up in where we had at 1.3 dogs and 2 cats. All of the dogs were what we called newspaper trained.
Okay.
So in like the hallway between the kitchen and the family room, there was a door to get into the garage, right?
Okay.
In the garage, we would lay down some newspaper in a very specific area. If the dog was young and being trained and it pooped in the house, we would make them watch us pick the poop up, put it on the newspaper, carry it out into the garage, and then bring the dog out there, make sure the dog knew that that's where it goes, and leave it there. And so eventually the dog would mimic the other dog. The new dog would mimic the older dogs and like whine at the door to the garage to go because it had to go on the newspaper.
Okay.
Hmm. And so once it was newspaper trained, then we would take those newspapers. Not, I mean, you clean them up every now and then, but you take one that's got like some fresh droppings on it and you make the dog watch again. You take it outside into the backyard, right? We had a fenced in backyard. So eventually this translated into the dogs whining to go out the back door into the backyard to do their business in the backyard. Now, they would do so, and then sometimes weeks would go by before, like, one of the children was punished in some way. Like, okay, you're on dog duty.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the pooper scooper. Go pick up all the poops in the backyard. Yep. And so, you get in some trouble. You did something wrong.
I'm talking about more like when you're walking the dog or at the dog park or...
Well,
at the beach.
So, like, dog parks weren't a thing. They were just parks.
Sure. And dogs just dogs pooped in the park.
Right.
Apparently.
And life went on.
Because
it wasn't bags everywhere.
Right.
No.
Right?
There wasn't laws.
Like, adults didn't carry a plastic bag with them to
pick it up.
Pick
hot
it up.
Poop. Yeah.
right?
And then what, put it in your pocket? That's
I don't know.
So crazy.
That's the thing. It seemed more normal before.
Right. Yes.
Right, where you went to the park and like, oh, we stepped in dog. And that was like.
Exactly.
Then you went and washed it off.
Kids don't know what that experience is.
So to
was it a problem? Was it a big problem where they had to like institute this type of programming?
To further complicate things, when we would take the dogs for a walk, like around the neighborhood, around the block or whatever, they wouldn't go in anyone else's yard. They would wait till they got back and then poop in the yard, which we trained them to poop in.
Right.
I mean, that's fair if you're going on a short trip.
Like the male dogs would like, you know, pee on the light pole and the fire hydrant and that kind of stuff. But like, you know, they wouldn't poop in somebody else's yard because we trained them only to poop in our backyard.
Yeah. I mean, again, that works for short trips, but if you're out and about and people walk their dogs.
The other thing is when we would like take one or more of the dogs on like a road trip, you go up north to grandma's taking the dogs with you.
Yeah.
We would bring some newspaper. And when we'd pull up to like a wayside or something like that, we would just put the newspaper on the ground in an out of the way place so that the dogs knew that was safe to poo there.
Okay.
Right. And like, I'm assuming we picked. I don't remember picking up the newspaper and crumbling it up and throwing it away, but I assume that's what we did. Mm. We just tossed the poo in like the regular trash can that was there at the wayside.
So responsible people were already picking up dog poo.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And the irresponsible people still don't pick up dog poo.
Well, that's a good use for a newspaper, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially the New York Times or Washington Compost.
It's now the
or
best
whatever.
Use for a newspaper.
Yes, exactly.
For only 50 cents a day.
You know, I wonder if there's any newspapers that are marketing itself for alternate uses. Like, besides delivering you the daily news far later than the internet can.
Read this crap, and then you can use it for your dog's crap.
Biodegradable ink, perfect for fires.
Maybe it's compostable, right? Okay. You know,
the Washington compost.
Well, newspaper is great for insulation, for those of you who don't know these survival
old
skills.
Old school, yeah.
Yeah, old school. Sometimes when you like
that's
gut.
That's why bums use it as blankets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you gut a home that's old, instead of insulation in between the.
Yeah, find old newspapers.
You find old newspapers.
Oh,
right?
That's great.
So
I've done that before.
No need for a, what do they call it, a time capsule in those houses. You just
bury a newspaper in the wall.
Tear down the walls.
Just use asbestos.
I haven't put the drywall up in my house. I should probably put some Monadnock shoppers in there. Just hide them.
Just go raid the penny savers?
Yeah.
No one reads this.
For future generations. We got to rip down that sheet. Look at this Monadnock shopper.
Do they still publish like the auto trader, the RV trader, that kind of stuff?
I don't know.
I used to find those for free at like all the convenience stores.
I think the internet put them.
Shop.
The internet.
It was Craig.
Those.
It wasn't even the internet. It was just Craig.
It was Craig. Him and his damn list.
Yes.
All right. NYC lawmakers look to help pet owners do D-O-O the right thing with poop bag bill.
But the bill.
Who is it written by? Is it written by a journalist?
It's written by Catalina Gonella. Whoever that is.
Is that a journalist?
I don't know. Don't they usually have a subtitle?
No.
Okay.
I've never seen this website before. I can't tell you what they usually do.
Right.
I mean, would you believe the subtitle? If it said, like, Catalina Journalist.
Yeah, the other one. Well, we read one last week, and it was, you know, journalist.
Thank you for telling us.
I'm going way out on a limb here. She wrote this article. It's been published. We're reading it. I think that makes her a journalist.
It could have been written by AI, and they just put her picture there.
Maybe that picture's AI.
The picture could be AI.
There is an AI.
I did send Captain a picture of the Cryptopotamus.
Yeah.
That was AI generated.
True. It hasn't made its premiere anywhere yet.
He asked for it.
I did.
And it was pretty good, too.
It's pretty good, that first one.
Yes, one of them. Yeah.
The third one was also acceptable. The second one, I didn't really notice what was wrong with it until you pointed it out. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah.
Bringing your own bags to pick up after your dog has long been considered the first and best option for dog owners and walkers around the city.
Nope, best option is just leave it.
Or just don't own a dog.
Well, you got to own something. Can't own people anymore.
But now, lawmakers are looking to implement a decent number two.
Come on, really? Did you write this?
Our whole shtick is the number two story, man. If it's going to be clever, it's got to be clever.
I'm convinced.
I think they're on to us.
I'm convinced that Richie Rich sometimes picks some of these articles.
I don't even think this was mine.
I picked this one.
Yeah, this was Steve's.
Well, all right. But I'm still convinced that sometimes Richie Rich picks some of these articles just to hear me try and read them.
That presumes that I've read them.
It does, or at least part of it.
I do read part of it. I generally read part of it and see, you know, if I start reading an article and something funny pops into my head, it immediately goes in the show prep because then I know I can comment on it.
That's an excellent barometer.
It's really all just like setups for me to nail punchlines on the show. Nice.
The city council is weighing a bill that would require the Department of Sanitation to install and regularly fill dog waste bag dispensers on or next to all public litter baskets on city streets.
If you said that like Sean Connery, it'd be fine.
Believe me, I was thinking about it the whole time I read it.
And the city council.
I should not read this in the voice of Sean Connery.
City
for
officials.
Obvious reasons.
They should put it next to the ashtrays, double up on the smokers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then the bums, while they're bumming smokes, they can just take their own dump into the bag while they're smoking.
This is New York, not San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, my bad.
All right.
The law's main sponsor, wait, did we finish reading? Dog waste bag dispensers on or next to all public litter baskets on city streets.
So now non-pet owners are going to have to pay for bags of pet owners.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
The law's main, and the installation of these
devices. I just
want to
make sure we get that.
Them.
We're like joking around, but that's, you know, a
like,
pretty crux issue there.
Like, you know what's going to happen. The bags are going to be like taken. Somebody's going to go unroll them all. Right, take the whole damn roll. Like, it's hard enough to even get, like, the little napkins to check your oil with at the gas station. You know what I mean? Like, those guys don't regularly stock those. Do you think the city is going to keep up with stocking these bag dispensers?
You may not have the answer, but is New York one of those cities that has a plastic bag ban in grocery stores and supermarkets?
I believe so.
Make a rectangle?
Touche.
Because now they're going to provide it for pet owners. Right, if that's true.
I'm calling for the magic rectangle.
You know what I'm bagging my groceries in from now on if I'm ever in New York. I'm just going to stop off at the poop dispenser.
Bring a couple of those rolls
of bags with me.
You're in Aldi's in NYC. You put your groceries in the dog poo bag.
Seems like they kind of missed the mark on, you know, whether or not plastic is bad for the environment, if that's the case.
Well, according to the magic rectangle, it says the law took effect March 1st, 2020, and prohibits the distribution of plastic carryout bags by any person required to collect a New York State sales tax.
What? Okay. So now you know where to get your shopping bags from, New York City.
It does not say that the dog waste bags are plastic.
Oh, I thought you said plastic bag dispensers.
It says dog waste bag dispensers.
Which are usually plastic.
I can't imagine them not being plastic.
Could it be made out of hemp?
Reusable. People start bringing Aldi bags to the dog park.
That would have been a good use, right? Like, plastic bags from grocery stores weren't just thrown away.
Yeah,
they were recycled and reused.
Right.
They fit that little trash bag in the bathroom, for instance.
Yep.
Right. Yep. And then now you have trash.
I still use them for that.
Yep. Yes.
Because I have a whole paper towel roll that I've stuffed over the years with like a whole bunch of the plastic bags.
Yep.
And whenever I need one, it's just right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we don't have this problem in New Hampshire because you can still get plastic bags at the grocery store.
Yeah.
For free?
Not at the waste bin at the local city park.
You can't get free. What would those be called? Doggy bags? What would you call them? Dog waste?
Yeah. So I'm never asking for a doggy bag at a restaurant again.
They'll give you one of those.
You know.
I would like a to-go box, please.
Yes. Although there are things that you shouldn't say, or you should, depending on your relationship with your wait person. But like, I've said this. Do you have a little box I can put my meat in? Now, if you have the right relationship with your wait person, that's hilarious.
Right.
But if it's your first time at a new place and you've never seen this wait person before,
get the stink eye.
That might be a questionable thing for you to say. Yeah. So. Use at your own risk, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I ask. You may either encounter laughing or you may get slapped.
Grandpa, it's pronounced quiche.
He snorted.
I got the captain to snort.
Yep. The law's main sponsor, council member Julie Menon. Bye, Menon.
Oh, man.
Who represents the Upper East Side. How is a side an upper or a lower?
Because New York is gridded.
Yeah. But how can it be a side?
North side? Be the east side.
Because you got the east, central, and west side.
It's not a cube, though. It doesn't have sides. It's kind of like a flat
it's like
area.
East side, upper east side.
I'm not sure how it has sides.
Slang.
So the northwestern section of the city. Yeah.
The northeastern part of the United States.
She's throwing like gangs. Upper East Side.
Represent.
She said she wants dog owners to have no excuse when it comes to picking up after their pets. Because apparently dog owners are just, they're making too many excuses.
You know, I didn't know he was going to go. I took him for his walk and I just ran out of bags again.
This is his number two.
Oh, is that a law here? Oh, I didn't know.
There ought to be a law where the state provides me baggies. Then I'll pick it up. I'm calling my congressperson.
That's not how these things work.
Is there a law?
No, she probably stepped in poo and went, you know, there ought to be a law. Oh, wait, I'm the one that writes the law.
Right.
How can I spend other people's money so I don't have to step in poo?
Or some space cadet was like, man, I took the dog out and it went poo, but I forgot the bags, man.
So I just walk your dog at night.
So then they went over. No, what happened is they went over to the trash bin of the local park, probably emptied out some plastic bag that was in there with somebody's, you know, lunch wrapper or something, you know, and used that. And then, ding, I could pass a bill that makes them have dispensers right here containing bags for us for free, quote unquote, free.
And she could probably steer the contract to one of her friends who runs the bag business.
It's like you know how government works.
Yes.
Is having next to a trash bin like the best place for it, though? The dog's not always going to go next to the trash bin. You got to have them like lined up periodically throughout the street on your way to a trash bin.
Usually you need to have the bag with you so you can pick it up, and then on your way back through, you drop it in the waste bin.
Right.
So you'd probably need to, like, recalibrate your dog walking to pass by the trash bin first.
Okay.
When you first take the dog out. Like, no, let's go over here, grab a bag, then walk the dog, hoping that they don't poo before you grab a bag. Otherwise, you got to do double walking.
We got to stop off and get some trash bag scoob.
Oh, man. I was just thinking about what that looks like, a Scooby snack coming out the other end.
You're welcome.
It's going to be pretty embarrassing when you've got someone who has a dog and their dog goes to the bathroom on the street and you don't pick up when a couple feet away there's a dog waste bag, she said in an interview.
Oh, jeez.
No, because if he's not going to pick it up, he wasn't going to pick it up anyway, and he doesn't care about the embarrassment.
It's like,
right?
I would say the same,
locks only keep the honest people honest, right?
Right.
If you're going to leave your front door wide open all night long, don't be surprised if somebody walks through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. What is it about, like, the whole guns thing, right? If you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns, because now everybody who owns a gun is an outlaw.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Except for the law-abiding gun owners. They'll turn it in real quick.
Richie, you're so funny.
Don't know these people? No.
I don't know anyone that owns guns that would be like, well, they said to come turn them in, so I gotta throw them in the trunk and I'll be back in a little while, guys.
Oh,
I don't know anyone that would do
that. Well, that's because you live here.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the law-abiding gun owners.
In New York City?
Well, whatever. But my point is, they've passed gun infringements that have turned people into felons overnight.
Oh, yeah. They did that in Connecticut. Yep.
And there are a subsection of gun owners that went, well, I guess I got to turn in my bump stock and my triggers.
I heard it on the news.
Yeah.
I didn't get a certified letter from the state police.
Those aren't really gun owners. Those are
They own guns.
Well,
they fit the definition.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
No, they're the law-abiding gun owners. This is why there's a qualifier.
right?
There's gun owners and law-abiding gun owners. And when a law is passed, law-abiding gun owners will abide the law and turn in the infringing part or accessory or whatever you want to call it, or will register with whatever the government says they need to form to fill out. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, no, you can keep your pistol brace if you just fill out this form.
Us $200 a year.
Whatever it is. right? They'll do it. They'll begrudgingly do it. Right, but they don't want to run afoul of the law.
Right.
I need to take a moment and just point out to our listening audience something very obvious. Beware of forms. Whenever somebody wants you to fill out a form for some reason, just beware of what you're putting on the form, because they don't delete those things. they take that and they enter it into a database where it is stored
forever.
And it is there forever and ever and ever. There are two weapons that bureaucrats use. One is weapons, like, you know, guns and that kind of a thing, right? And the other one is forms. They use forms.
Paperwork.
For you to fill out. Paperwork, right? Yeah. Yes. When bureaucracy attacks, all of a sudden you've got a lot of paperwork to do.
In triplicate.
Yeah. At any rate, if this bill becomes law, we're talking about the doggy bags in New York City again.
The duty bags.
We've segued off of the guns.
If it becomes law, so this is just a, they're just spitballing an idea here.
Proposal, I guess. They're passing the gas, if you will.
Okay.
If the bill becomes law, the new infrastructure would be accompanied by a public awareness campaign. Advertising.
Oh, got to get the advertising.
So tax money on advertising.
Yep. In collaboration with other departments of government. The Department of Health on the negative public health consequences that dog waste can have. Despite assertions that dogs are more intelligent than cats, the species has not evolved to the point where it can effectively use a bathroom facility. What am I reading?
The Gothamist.
The Gothamist.
A journalist from The Gothamist.
How do you come up with this sentence? Despite assertions that dogs are more intelligent than cats, the species has not evolved to the point where it can effectively use a bathroom facility.
There are videos litter of boxes. Like trained cats using litter boxes.
Going on the toilet.
She's referring to dogs having not evolved where it can.
But they're smarter than cats, I guess.
I don't know.
Are they?
That's what it says.
Are they?
I read that on the internet. Captain just read it on the internet.
Oh, okay.
Must be true. According to Menin's office, the city dog's population produces 27,000 tons of excrement annually.
Dun, dun, dun.
The city's
27,000
population.
Tons.
Tons?
Dude, what if they just
what's that in kilos for?
What if they just put that into a city compost pile?
Right? And they got to separate it from the bag.
Right, the plastic bag doesn't compost.
Yeah,
or does it?
I don't know. I mean, if they put out paper bags,
compostable.
If they put out paper bags, that would be awesome.
Then it's going to end up like paper straws by the time you get to the trash can.
No, they could have paper bags for the dog poop with a little. They could sell lighters, so you could just.
Oh, then you just like then you leave it at the congressman's office.
Exactly.
You know,
ring
where
the doorbell.
It belongs.
Yes.
Exactly. Drop it off at the congressman's house.
Light it on fire first.
Oh,
watch them
goodness.
Stamp it out, and hilarity ensues. You'll be TikTok famous.
In no
That'll
time.
Be a new TikTok.
Yeah. Stop eating Tide Pods. Start leaving dog poop bags on your congressman's office.
It is not only a quality of life issue; it is also a health issue because dog waste contains all sorts of bacteria that are extremely harmful to people and also to young children, Menin said.
If you eat it.
Don't let
your kids eat poop.
At a committee hearing on the bill this week, DSNY Commissioner Jessica Tisch said she agreed with the spirit of the bill, but suggested the dispensers be attached to more fixed street infrastructure. She's afraid somebody's going to run off with not only the trash can, but the dispenser full of bags.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to start the dog licensing process, and then everyone who's got a dog license just gets a stipend mailed to their home every month of these dog bags.
Yeah. It's like the water bill.
Yeah.
Use water, you got to pay for it.
Well, you don't pay for it. The issue, it's going to be free anyway.
603-283-6160. What do you think of this new poo proposed law? Would you abide? Do you think it's a good idea? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Hour number two is next.
Protection. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster. Police state.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com. Free Talk Live.
And Excellent. We're lions. We're lions is what we are. Hold on.
Sheepdogs.
We've done something very special. And by we, I mean Richie Rich, basically. But Steve Classic is on duty right now.
Speaking of number two stories.
So you're going to do a thing?
Here we go. Gigi's heart's on fire. She can put up the flame. Captain Kick-Ass got a heartbeat like a hurricane. But she's taken. She's got a ring on her hand. And her husband's catching on. He can't stand. With that said, let's actually go to Gigi. You're on Free Talk Live.
Was that a secret message to me?
That was AI, but yes.
You guys are so cute. You really do crack me up, all of you.
You're the second caller with the theme song.
Two comments, both of which are just my personal opinion. And then I have a question which has nothing to do with my comments. If I could please do all three.
Okay, go.
Thank you. Number one, I am very concerned. I am very frustrated and to some extent frightened by the out of control violence that I see on various news programs around this country at universities and colleges. It does remind me, as a retired professor of history, of what we saw happening at universities in Germany and Austria in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
My second comment I would like to share.
The number again, two comment.
My personal opinion is I am outraged once again by the Israeli government enforcing censorship, shutting down Al Jazeera, which in Arabic means the news, as in news that we watch at night. I think it is a violation of so-called democratic values and freedom of the press that they offer as a democratic country. I think it's hypocritical. And many years ago, not too many, but in the recent past, a Palestinian-American journalist working for Al Jazeera, Shireen, I want to pronounce her family name properly, so if I'm mispronouncing it and a listener hears me, please bear with me and give me some leeway here.
Just give it a shot.
Ms. Shireen Al-Abziza.
Okay.
She was killed. She had a helmet that said press. A vest that said press, and she was killed.
Might as well put a target on.
By a sniper, by an Israeli military person. We haven't heard a damn thing, not in this country or from Israel. Where is this American journalist?
Yes, the first I've heard of it is
nobody
from
is
you.
Nobody is taking responsibility, and we ain't hearing nothing about it, and it's disgusting.
Well, we don't have journalists in the United States much anymore. There's a few of them here and there, but
they all write for the Gothamist.
Well, most of them just regurgitate whatever government press releases are fed to them instead of doing any actual real investigating.
I don't care if she was Mexican with green polka dots. She was working to promote awareness and information, and she was killed. And I have a problem that I don't hear anybody in America saying, let's find out what happened to this journalist.
Well, you're saying it now.
My question that has nothing to do with these comments is, now I'm reacting like a Jewish mother. I always got 1 to 2 letters a week from Ian. I haven't received a single letter from him in almost 3.5 weeks. Where is Mr. Freeman?
He has been moved to the federal facility in Devens.
Okay, that answers the question.
There is fresh information over at freekeen.com on how to write to his new location if you want to peruse that.
What state is he in?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Okay. So they took him from Stratford County Jail and they put him in the federal facility, finally.
Yeah, he was at, I think, Merrimack is where he was, and then
yes,
they moved him to...
They put him in two county jails, and now he's finally in a federal facility where I am hoping he will have much better nutritional meals, more information at his available access, and better health care.
I don't feel like it works that way, though. I feel like him being held at the county level was going to get him better nutrition, more access. Well, so far that's the case.
Let's hope that we are both going to hear proper information.
I've spoken to the man this week, so within the last week.
Can you do me a favor, sir?
Yeah.
When you communicate with Ian, will you please tell him, write Gigi and Jeffrey a letter so we know where to send a letter to him?
I'll give him the wink, wink, and the nudge, nudge.
I would appreciate that courtesy very much.
All right. Gigi, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you. Feel free to call us again, 603-283-6160. Let's move right along to, we've got Paul calling. Paul, where are you calling from today?
I'm still in Mesa, Arizona.
Mesa, Arizona. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just, have the recently passed April tax terrorism season. I thought I would get people ready for next year.
Did you pay your extortion?
Yeah, that's what it is, all right.
Did you celebrate, like all of us, celebrating on April 15th?
Yes.
Wait, what's the day? What's the day of the year when, like, you've worked enough through the year to
tax freedom day?
What day is that?
New Year's Eve.
It's a different day every year.
Oh,
because they
do
the calculations.
Oh, I see.
I thought it was New Year's Eve.
And then if you calculate all the taxes you pay, you
tax freedom day 2024
July.
I was going to say, like, Halloween is probably this year. If you made it to Halloween, you've paid all your taxes.
Thanksgiving next year.
Right. Thanksgiving, then Christmas, and then, yeah.
But I'd like to give the following quote, and the trick is to discover who was it that made this statement.
Okay.
The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth becomes the greatest enemy of the state.
I know who that quote is. I'll give these other guys. Don't look. Oh, he looked. Sorry.
It doesn't matter who counts the votes, but
who made that quote?
I was looking up Tax Freedom Day, so I wasn't paying attention.
Do you want to reveal it, Paul?
Yes, it happens to be Dr. Joseph Goebbels, Reich Minister of Propaganda from Nazi Germany.
Well, he was a doctor.
Is that Reich?
is that Reich?
Anyway, I'm reading from a book, Income Tax Shattering the Myths, by a gentleman by the name of Dave Champion, whom I'm encouraging to call into your show at some point.
We're still waiting. Big fans.
Yeah, and so.
All right.
According to one source, Tax Freedom Day was April 18th.
I thought it was right around, like, tax day, right?
Yeah.
Like, last year, at least. I was like, wow, so, like, Tax Day and Tax Freedom Day are, like, you know,
the same day,
or within a day of each other.
It was like on the halving too, I think.
Oh yeah,
right about that time.
Wow,
right before.
Well,
right before
the halving. If Tax Freedom Day precesses further into the future, then that you don't have to pay your taxes until that day. Yes.
Well, I mean, the only
if you're gonna pay, does it matter when it happens?
Yeah, the only reason anybody pays is because they're under duress. Right.
Yeah, correct.
They fear what will happen to them if they don't.
Right. It's like a shopkeeper, having to pay extortion to the gangs.
Yep.
Well, however, the major problem is, I mean, yes, obviously the real answer is that nobody has the authority and the right to demand money from people.
Boom.
But they do it, and people pay.
Even those people who claim to be law-abiding citizens and think the Constitution was the greatest thing that was ever written on hemp paper, Mr. Champion points out the fact that the federal government did not, in fact, tax 95% of the population. and he will expound at great length at that point. He certainly does it in this book, Income Tax Shattering the Myth,
yep.
Available from drreality.com. But I'm not being paid to say this.
That's all right.
You should be.
We've covered this before. Here's the problem, right? If you try to take that advice and get caught, you will then be tried in front of a jury of your peers. And I think it was well covered last night how well a jury of your peers go, especially when they have been indoctrinated to believe the opposite. Right? Well, yes, I'm paying my fair share.
Yeah.
Everyone should pay their fair share. And this jabroni does not want to pay his fair share, therefore guilty.
I didn't know he's a jabroni.
Yeah. That's their thought of him.
Oh, okay.
I watched.
See, hear the voice? That's me, like, doing the juror.
Oh, you watched? Yeah, I was going to mention him when you mentioned that. He does have a very long and rabbit hole-ish YouTube series on how and why there is no law that says you have to pay income tax.
Yeah, and of course, Ian, you know, broke no laws, and yet somehow he's now sitting in a federal prison. So, Your point is well taken. However, the first, you know, if we can at least get over the first hurdle that no, you're not obeying the law by paying taxes, you know, at some point, yeah, I'm looking for this. What's it called? The once you reach a certain number of people, things, you know, critical mass.
That's a big
100th monkey apex. Or whatever. Yeah.
It's unfortunately a big if. The vast majority of people don't care. We'll pay out of duress or because they believe it's the right thing to do. But, you know, Larkin Rose, the theft by deception video that painstakingly goes through all of it, right, was his defense in court, was found guilty by a jury of his peers and did jail time over.
Yep.
Right. We've got another, you know, frequent caller and comes out to the meetups, Bare Arms.
Yep.
Doing similar work.
Yeah. He's got a free book that he has published about how you don't have to pay federal income tax unless you make federal income.
Because it's a modifier.
Right.
But they don't care. You're not going to get a jury to, like, understand it, yet let alone accept it, internalize it to the point where they're not going to convict you, even if it's in their own best interest to do so, because it alleviates them from the burden of taxes and their families forever as well.
Crabs in a bucket.
And even if you get through all of that, right, if you get to the constitutionalists, right, then all they have to do is pass an amendment, making it legal, and all of a sudden it doesn't matter.
Right.
So... now it's the
law. You'll be pounding the podium, right?
Anything else, Paul?
Well, no, I just wanted to make that point, and so hopefully he will call in and clear up all this stuff. So,
all right. Well, thank you for the call, Paul. We appreciate you. Have a fine evening. I think that what it would take to convince a jury would be all of the people who have given their time and effort to these types of books and video series and who have done the in-depth investigation to literally teach the jury about all of this stuff. Now, you're not going to get a judge to go along with that because we're like, oh, it's irrelevant.
Right? His salary is paid by taxes.
Right? You know? So
by the time you get to the jury, it's too late.
It's the same reason why we can't, like I've conceived of it, and I didn't invent this, but I got it from somebody else, and it's popular amongst libertarians and cryptocurrency enthusiasts. It's the free speech defense when it comes to cryptocurrency, because all cryptocurrency is software. Software is zeros and ones, and software is already recognized as free speech by the U.S. government. So, therefore, like... me exchanging cryptocurrency with you for something is me exchanging free speech.
It's not, like giving him a floppy disk.
Okay.
Not money, right? But judge is never going to let that fly, right? Judge is never even going to allow that argument to occur, much less you be able to invoke that defense.
Yeah, but if you go back to the taxes, by the time you get to the jury, it's too late. The judge is too late.
Right.
Right. They have been indoctrinated, most of them, their entire lives by being in the government education system. And that system is going to brainwash them from age 6
right
onward to believe that the state is the authority.
You bring up a good point. Whenever you hear the word public, just substitute the word government and get a more accurate picture. Public works, government works.
Right, but
Public parks, government parks.
People are you know, ingrained to think there are two things that are definite in life, right?
Death and taxes.
Right.
And tables.
I guess tables, yeah.
Tables?
Sorry. It's a WWE thing. Don't worry about it.
Tables, chairs, ladders. No, but death and taxes, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, well, death is obvious. Well, I guess taxes are too. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a statist made that up.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And put it in school.
Yeah, put it in school. Yeah. Teach the children.
Yes. Yes. There are only two inevitable things.
Death. It used to be death.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, how can we get them on the hook for taxes?
Well, like
change the old thing.
Somebody asks you, what do you know for certain? My answer is, well, the only thing I know for certain is that nothing is for certain, right? That's the only certainty that any of us have. Right. However, you could also answer that with death and taxes.
But leave out the taxes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say I prefer death.
Well, if you don't pay your taxes.
But what's the rest of the New Hampshire motto?
Live free or die.
Death is not the worst of evils.
Yeah.
Right.
So there we go. Wow. Yeah. Now, do you suppose Dave Champion, do you suppose his last name is actually Champion? Or did he have to change it to Champion?
And if he changed it, did he pay the government to do it?
And if he did change it, is it because he won something and was the champion of a thing?
A major award, probably. You know?
Same way you got to be the captain.
What, like the leg lamp?
Yeah. That's a major award. Right. He's the champion.
Random Christmas movie shout-outs here on Free Talk Live.
Captain, did we finish the number two story?
You'll shoot your eye out.
Did we finish the number two story?
He did almost shoot his eye out.
I'm still thinking about
I think somebody came by with some government-sponsored bags and picked it up and threw it away.
Oh, they threw it out? Okay, good.
I think it's in the trash. You want me to dig it out?
No.
I'd have to sanitize again.
We'll just let it decompose.
All right.
Compost bins.
I want to talk. You guys know I before I was a nationally syndicated radio talk show host.
Oh yeah,
sounds all holiday.
Where's your suitcase full of money?
And I was, and before I was a musician, I was also a comedian.
Okay.
And I don't mean like I went out and did stand up comedy. I mean I wrote parody songs. I wrote funny songs. Where I changed the words of existing songs.
It's not funny anymore.
Not funny.
I've got a couple things in the works that might be funny again.
Okay, all
you right. know, we'll try to do a swan song as I get older. Right?
All right.
But I still keep an eye on comedy, and I have felt for a long time that comedy is dying as far as stand-up comedy is concerned. Also, like, sitcoms aren't, like, they've changed, man, a lot, right?
I don't watch sitcoms anymore.
Well,
yeah.
When I do, like, I'll give one a shot every now and again. I go, I'm so disappointed. Yeah. They're just not good.
I mean, we were talking about Saturday Night Live. I haven't seen Saturday Night Live in a long time, but I don't know what is potentially funny on that show anymore.
I will tell you what's funny on that show. The weekend update.
It's still funny?
Where they switch jokes.
What do you mean?
They switch. They're
like, the two hosts of Weekend Update will write jokes that the other has to read. And they don't tell them what it is until it hits the teleprompter.
Really?
I can see how
that
is funny.
Yep. That is hilarious.
That is the best bit on Saturday Night Live.
And then they did the Beavis and Butthead thing like a couple weeks ago, and everyone loved that. So.
Now, this article from Outkick.com is going to talk about something that Jerry Seinfeld has said. Are you guys familiar with Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah.
The comedian. Yes.
He just did like the Unfrosted movie or something about Pop-Tarts.
Now, I knew him way back when he was just doing stand-up. Not knew him, but like knew of him.
When he was just Jerry.
Way back when he was just doing stand-up. And I never really found his stand-up that funny. It was a little too dry.
What's the deal?
Yeah, it was a little...
With airport hand sanitizers.
Yeah. A little too...
Everything's in that plane is small.
Too
much,
a little
late. Yeah.
But his television show, Seinfeld, right, was...
Great show. I got the whole box set on DVD.
DVD.
So the headline here says, Jerry Seinfeld slams extreme left for ruining comedy.
Yeah.
Ruining comedy.
I figure he would be left himself.
No.
No, I
Jerry Seinfeld isn't a fan
of... Have you watched Seinfeld?
Yes, I have. But
there's,
I mean, if you're
very offensive things on that show.
Right. Which would never, you'd never be able to get away with that today.
Jerry Seinfeld is not a fan of people who have ruined comedy. It's not a secret at all that comedy simply isn't what it used to be. Stop and think about how many great comedy films have been released in the past 15 plus years. It's not many. I can't think of one in the past 15 years that I've been like, yeah.
Like a comedy movie comedy?
Yeah, like the last comedy movie that I can remember is like Anchorman.
Okay.
And that's got to be more than 15 years all right. old, right?
I laughed a bunch at Ricky Stanicky.
I don't even know what that is.
Didn't see it.
Because you guys don't watch movies.
I watch a ton of movies. Okay. I probably watch as many, if not more movies than you.
No, you probably watch more movies than me then.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. But like I am picky about what I watch.
Well, there's your problem.
Right? No, that's not a problem. It's actually good for me. So I make good use of my time instead of watching crap.
Well, yeah. But if you're looking at comedy movies, right? And you're looking at the ratings, that's not a highly rated category. Right, like horror movies, you're never going to find a 9+ rated horror movie.
Okay,
they don't qualify for that.
Sure.
So if you're looking for a comedy movie, you can't trust the rating system. You just have to watch the movie.
6.5 is sort of where I.
Okay.
You know, if it's 6.4,
it's got to be 0.5.
See, and 6. I don't trust
6.5 the or up. I'm like, okay, you know, and that's IMDb, right? IMDb.
Okay.
I use their rating. I don't use Rotten Tomatoes. I will, on occasion, check Rotten Tomatoes just to make sure. Because if it's something where I'm like, well, the producer's good and the cast looks pretty good. And, oh, it's based on, like, a book or something. Like, so the writers didn't have to work much. You know, like, I'll give Rotten Tomatoes a look to see what they say and then maybe give it a shot because of that. But
there was the other one with Jennifer Lawrence, like, within the last couple of years. I forget the name of it.
Years.
Comedy movie?
Yeah. Well, this is off the top of my head.
And it was funny?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
603-283-6160 is the extreme left ruining comedy. More Free Talk Live coming up.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. Bitrefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. But what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Souped-up Nissan shifting.
Honda.
Yeah.
Honda Civic.
It's the Honda with, like, the no muffler.
Yeah, with the huge muffler on the back that doesn't do anything.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like T-shirts and hoodies, are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. Moving forward, because, you know, it's better than backward, I guess, depending on what you're trying to do. You know what I can't do? I can't back a trailer.
Oh. Right?
When you're towing a trailer and you need to...
Back it.
It's just my brain. You have to counter steer. You have to steer the
wrong way. Yeah.
To make the thing move the way you want it to. And it just, I don't know.
Yeah. Then try to straighten it out. You're like that Austin Powers in the hallway trying to...
And then, so, like, the last time I was trying to do this, like,
Practicing video games.
The last time I tried to do this, some guy comes up with a van, but it had the tow package on the back of the van, but it also had a tow hitch on the front of the van. And he just pulled up to the front of the trailer, pulled it, you know, in reverse, right? And then, you know, moved it to where I wanted it. And then, like,
that's brilliant.
It was done.
Yeah. You ever see the video of, like, the VW Beetle with the tow mount on the roof? And you can just pivot?
With the fifth wheel that, like, but it pivots underneath it? Yeah.
That's cool.
I have seen those. And I actually saw one of those fifth wheels in person one time when I was down in New Mexico. I was at some sort of a used car lot, and they had one. I'm like, this is cool. But it wouldn't fit on the car that I had. And
how are you going to get a fifth wheel on a car?
It sort of attaches to the roof of the car with these clamps that clamp onto the edge of the
windows. And you would trust your car pulling a trailer?
And so the car, somebody engineered this and made it, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? So. Right.
Journalist.
Journalist.
Engineer.
Politician.
I mean, these were, I'm going to say mass produced. I don't know how mass, you know, but they were produced at least in factories and, you know, made to do this exact thing.
In Germany in the 30s.
Yeah.
Superior.
That's what they would say.
That's what they would
say. In Germany in the 30s.
That's what they would say.
So anyway, we began talking about in the previous segment this headline, at least, from Outkick.com. Jerry Seinfeld slams extreme left for ruining comedy. It's no secret that comedy simply isn't what it used to be. The idea of a movie like Superbad being made today is almost impossible to imagine. The woke mob has sanitized and killed humor to the point that it is neutered and vanilla. Seinfeld is now going on offense against those responsible for being outraged at comedy.
I feel like this is the same argument as the woke females saying that, you know, men just don't want to watch female leads in movies when the movie's just garbage.
Dude, okay, here's a television show that no one remembers because at the time it wasn't poorly named, but the name has become a poorly named series. It was out of the 70s, same time like Wonder Woman with Linda Carter and
The Avengers.
The original Shazam, right? And all that stuff was being aired, right?
The Hulk.
It's called ISIS.
Okay.
Is the name of the... Right. And it had this super gorgeous brunette girl in it. And she had that sort of like Egyptian look to her, right? You know, and that kind of thing. I don't even remember what her superpower was. But like, you know, that was a strong female lead and an absolutely crap show.
Okay.
Also, growing up as a kid, I used to watch this thing called the Croft Super Show. It wasn't broadcast all over the United States, but they would play different episodes of different shows within the one show.
Okay.
And one of the shows that they played was something called Electra Woman and Dyna Girl. And both female strong leads, right? Superheroes, right?
Okay.
That kind of a thing. There's a myth going around that like, oh, there's never any strong women and strong leads, or there hasn't been, you know, up until 20 years ago. It's like, no, that's not true. You obviously don't watch enough film and television. Has that number increased, the percentage? Yes, absolutely it has in the last 20, 30 years or so. But it's not like there was none, right? People make it out to be like, women never had any.
The complaint is not that there isn't strong female leads. It's that the movies aren't doing well because of the patriarchy.
Well, I mean...
Sounds like the WNBA.
Movies and...
Which is picking up because they finally have a superstar. Who can, like, bring in money.
Yeah.
Movies and television have an obligation, a necessity to cater to the audience that will pay to see their films.
Yeah, and they don't.
And so if these movie studios are putting out films that don't work, they have to figure out why and correct that and make films that do work financially.
They probably do know what works, but are probably being steered to produce something else so they don't upset their social credit score, their DEI rating or whatever.
Well, let's find out what Jerry Seinfeld has to say.
Before you get into it, his recent release, Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Wars movie that just came out like days ago.
Whose release?
Jerry Seinfeld. He has a movie called Unfrosted. It's about the Pop-Tart Wars. 42% on Rotten Tomatoes and 51 popcorn rating. So is it the woke left putting down, or is it just a garbage movie that's killing
comedy? 6.4.
It's less than
4.1.
Different system, but you get the idea.
Yeah. Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. Used to be you would go home at the end of the day and most people would go, oh, Cheers is on, MASH is on, oh, look, it's the Mary Tyler Moore Show, or All in the Family.
Oh.
You just expected there would be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it, Seinfeld said on the New Yorker Radio Hour.
It's on the torrent sites. You just watch those old shows again.
Right.
To be fair, Jerry Seinfeld is old.
How old? How old is he? Or I'll ask the magic rectangle.
If only there were a device. The famous comedian then tore into the woke mob for being responsible for ruining great comedy, and he didn't hold back. This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thoughts about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy. They move the gates, like in skiing. Culture, the gates, they're moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that whenever they put in the gates, well, I'm going to just make this the gate, he continued. So he's talking about moving the gates yourself.
Okay, well, what did he do with Unfrosted then? Did he not take his own advice and still at 40% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Why don't you call him up and ask him?
I don't have his number.
All right. Well.
He probably doesn't have a cell phone because he's 70 years old.
Yeah, that's probably true. Seinfeld absolutely nailed it with his thoughts on comedy, according to this author. The entire point of comedy is to push the limits and offend people.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So think about and like also, the best comedians touring right now.
Great comedy should be edgy and make people uncomfortable at times. Nothing should be off limits. That's what makes a movie like Superbad or a TV series like South Park so incredible. Everyone and everything is a target. Instead of celebrating that kind of comedy, the woke outrage mob makes sure everyone is a victim that must be defended from being joked about. It's pathetic, says Seinfeld.
But they're not the target market. Like, let them be offended. They're not going to, you know, there was some author or whatever, and some guy said, I'm going to, like, buy your book and burn it. It was like, don't stop at one. Buy 10. Burn 10.
Buy 50 of them. We'll ship them
Buy
to
a
you.
Box. You know, who cares?
We'll give you a 10% discount. Buy a ton.
Let them shake their fists curmudgeonly all they want. But the people who are going to pay and enjoy the movie and the outrage and the offensiveness are going
to
pay.
It's really time to just start laughing at the woke mob. I mean, it's just...
Have been from the beginning.
Well, I know. But it's time for society to just say, like, these guys are just
the problem
clowns.
Is that they're a mob and they can't laugh at themselves.
Right.
Who cares?
As Patrice O'Neill famously said, the right to make any joke you want should be defended whether the joke lands or not. He made those comments years ago, and his advice is as important as it's ever been. Let's hope we eventually have some kind of revival, and we can get back to the old days of great comedy. We can't let the woke mob win. Let me know if you agree at this author.
Here's part of the problem, then, with that comment combined with Jerry Seinfeld's point of view. Right? If the joke doesn't land... And you go like, well, it's because of the woke mob and not that it was a garbage joke.
You're just making excuses.
You're just making excuses.
Right, right. Yeah.
Just be funny. Right? Like I watched Chappelle's latest one.
Oh, Chappelle's great.
He's great.
It is so, and it's better than his last one.
But his opening joke was like, what, like 5-10 minutes of a story?
Yeah. Right.
Just for a 10-second punchline that you didn't see coming. I didn't see it coming, but it was hilarious. Right, I felt this is perfect.
Last special was Dave Chappelle again. Like the last two specials were funny, but I was like, I feel like Dave's off. He's not, you know, his usual self. But this last one, I'm like, there's Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
there's the Dave Chappelle we all know and love. You know what I mean?
Dave Chappelle still offensive. Bill Burr still offensive. Louis C.K. still offensive.
Yeah, I
Jimmy
like,
Carr, offensive.
Not as good Dice as Clay, is he still out there? I mean, he was pretty offensive.
I actually saw an ad for him. He was doing a live show somewhere, Atlantic City or something. Yeah, one of those two.
The TikTok.
Casino.
Frickin' Doug Stanhope, man. The unsung, edgy
libertarian
comedian.
Hero.
You know, so, like, he is still funny. That guy is just, I don't know. I'm a fan of that guy.
You got to be careful with Doug Stanhope. I will say this. Like, sometimes he puts out on YouTube or whatever, like the cam shot of him trying out jokes in smaller venues.
Yep.
And he needs to polish them. Like, he's funny when he has time to, like, polish the jokes on a special. But some of that, like, handheld stuff is
But you don't get to the point where you have enough jokes that are polished for a special
You're
without
right.
working through the
You're
ones
right.
that don't land.
I just wouldn't put those out there. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Right. But, I mean, like, you know, a band would make a demo tape. So what does a comedian do? You got to have like a test market or something?
Yeah, but the band practicing in the garage, they don't like send that to the radio
studios. Right,
like
comedians famously will rehearse their bits, their
small
specials. In their hotel rooms or at home in front of the mirror so that they can critique with like a video camera going so that they can watch their performance back and also critique their stage movements, when they wink, when they smile, when they don't smile.
Pausing.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. Some comedians will even go so far as to do what I call the Weird Al stage treatment, and that's where before the show begins, they will put stage plots, pieces of tape or little markers on the stage, so that during their bit, they have already I'm going to be over here, now I'm going to move over to stage left, now I'm going to move to stage right, now I'm going to be in the middle of the stage, right, in order to do their various bits. They will plot out every step that they take on the stage for the entire show that they're going to put on, if it's a half hour, if it's an hour, whatever it is.
When it was a thing, did you happen to catch Mitch Hedberg's Comedy Central special by chance?
I mean, I feel like I did, but I don't know.
All right.
Seems like it's a while ago.
Okay. Are you familiar with Mitch Hedberg?
I am,
do you think he's funny?
I do.
Okay. Steve?
I do not know.
Okay. Look him up, because, again, the polish is funny.
Okay.
Not right now. Not a Google thing.
No, do it now.
No, I have to do it now. I forget. Yes.
Don't let me tell you what to do.
Anyway,
that was a liberty test. You failed.
There's an uncensored version of this special. It's a half an hour special, and during the filming of the special, he had to do like 25 minutes of extra jokes because he bombed in front of the crowd so many times.
Yeah.
That like they didn't have enough material
for a
half hour special. So he did 25 minutes of extra jokes just so they could edit it all together and make him funny for a half an hour.
Yeah.
Now, he's hilarious.
Well, this is why when you see comedians doing like two shows in the same night at the same venue, you'll see them do an early show,
seven o'clock, a dinner show,
and then they'll do like a 9 or 10. This is why, because when they go to film them, now they have two shows at the same venue with the same camera angles for them to edit everything together.
And you'll catch continuity mistakes and their sweat stains on their shirt.
Yep, it's true.
Hey, those people weren't in the audience before. Who are those people? Front row.
No, well, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, they splice it together.
Yeah. In one of Stanhope's specials, he actually points this out during the thing. He's like, those people who were here for the early show and decided to come back for the late show, they're like, wow, this show is way better. And he's like, because I just remembered all this. Like, I forgot. I straight forgot some of my bit during the first show. So now I'm doing it. And so that's why you're getting a different show.
It worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, to some extent, like Howard Stern came out of that shock comedy kind of thing, right? Andrew Dice Clay was that like shock comedian.
Yep.
Eddie Murphy was a shock comedian.
Who was influenced by Richard Pryor.
Yes, right. Richard Pryor also a shock comedian. Sam Kinison. So like there was, that's kind of the heyday of like, I'm going to say offensive comedy, at least offensive to like I'm going to say conservatives, really.
Yeah, but who cares? It was funny.
It was super funny.
And this, we talked about comedy before. This is the other thing, right? You don't have to be offensive to be funny, because there are clean comedians working.
Yeah.
And it's still funny.
Yeah.
And the one that comes to mind, because again, his clips pop up everywhere, is like Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
Clean family show. Hilarious. Take your kids. Like it's that clean. And he's hilarious.
And like, I can even find humor or find people funny, comedians that lean definitely towards the left.
Okay.
Eliza Schlesinger is, she's on tour again. I saw an ad for her recently. I'm like, oh yeah, watch one of her specials again. I'm like, oh, except for like the lefty stuff, she's really funny.
Yeah.
Right? So if you can, like, she only sprinkles it in here and there. It's not like her show isn't like, oh, I'm left. It's not that kind of show. There are comedians who do that, and they're not funny.
It's not funny.
They're not funny.
Right.
It might be to somebody, just not funny to you.
No, I mean, like, you just watch their spat, and you're like, nobody's laughing.
Okay.
You're like, well, sucks.
Even the people in the audience are offended.
Well, if that's the case, right, then they did
but that's the uptight.
They'll get applause for saying, like, a trendy political thing.
Right.
But, like, the jokes just aren't, it's all applause. It's not a bunch of laughter.
Orange Man Bad. Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's like Wanda Sykes' last handful of specials.
Yeah.
Either way. But my point is, like, if they bomb on the special, it's probably because they didn't take that act into the smaller clubs to test it out, and polish their craft.
Right.
Right. That's a mistake on them for not doing the job, you know, before the job. Right. Before the competition, like, you got to practice. You got to prep. You got
to
train.
In order to have a great show, you must prepare.
For the athletes, right? It's practice.
Practice,
I don't need to practice.
Yeah, I'm just going to go right to the Olympics. No, you're not.
No. That's all every guitar instructor will ever do. Practice.
And practice is a lot more time consuming than the competition.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't just get a special. You go do the jokes at the smaller clubs. You polish the act. You find
what works,
what doesn't work.
Right.
You leave out the jokes that don't work. You embellish the ones that do. And then you put that together in a special, and everyone laughs throughout the whole thing.
And then, boom.
Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
I do. I still feel like, and I haven't attended any stand-up comedy since COVID. And I really want to. The problem is, well, I live here, and there's not a lot of that.
You got to see Jim Brewer in a parking lot.
That was the last stand-up comedy that I saw. And he was still funny. And he was funny enough that he actually brought the current political situation into his show and did it with great taste and tact. I thought it was kind of surreal seeing a guy on stage, you know, 10 car lengths in front of me, you know, with screens all around and everybody tuning in on their radio or whatever to hear the audio, talk about how everybody's being locked down and it feels like the world is different now and that we're all, you know, sort of trapped and like we're in these like little mini cages at the drive-in, you know, kind of thing.
Right. It does feel that way, doesn't it, Jim?
And I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, man, I just had a surreal moment as he's like,
I can't even leave this 10-foot square to go to the restroom.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, me and Ian and somebody else was there with us. We all went to walk up to the merch table and to see what kind of T-shirts and whatever they had, you know, maybe get a Jim Brewer shirt or something.
Mask.
And, but there was this area of field between us and the merch booth, right? There was nothing in this area of field except for there were these little tiny stakes with little tiny string connecting the stakes as if that was going to keep anybody from walking.
It's the COVID-free zone.
And it was literally like a half a foot tall. So like, you know, a small child could have, you know, stepped over this with no problem. We do that, of course, because we're cutting through on our way, like as the crow flies, to get over to the merch table, which you can visually see. The merch table was not busy. There was not a line, you know. We're like, oh, let's get over there, right? So start cutting across the thing. Here comes Mr. Security Guy.
Oh, geez.
Right? Like, oh, you guys can't walk over that. Like, we're just going to get to the merch table. Like, nope, you got to go back and you got to go all the way around. We're like, guess we're not going to buy any merch today, right? And like, sorry, Jim. You know, the security guard was a Richard Cranium.
Hall monitor.
Yeah.
Did you tell him to keep his 6 feet distance? Just keep walking. Just stay six feet.
Yeah.
Actually,
somebody in the group did. Like, he got a little bit, whoa, 6 feet, buddy.
Yeah. Right?
You got to throw that back at him, man.
Yeah.
They did that to the manager at the Apple store around that time.
The genius?
No, he wasn't a genius. He was the manager.
Must not be a genius to be the Apple manager of the Genius Bar.
He kept coming and bugging me about the mask.
Somebody told me Apple is creating a thing called the Genius Bar, and I'm like, oh, I can go get drunk with a bunch of smart people? The Genius. They're like, no, not that kind of genius. I'm like, well, is there another kind? Like, you know. But then I moved here, I'm like, oh, I see.
The genius of Apple's, you know, customer service and what do you call it, technical support, is that they just replace it.
Right.
Like, they don't fix anything. They go like, oh, it doesn't work. Okay, here's another one.
Right.
Yep.
Genius.
If that's it.
That's why they're geniuses.
They don't take it apart. They're not like over there, you know, with the soldering iron and battery, you know,
microscope.
Spudgers.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Just go like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's broken.
What's the name of the thing the diamond guys use to look at the diamond? The monocle.
Okay.
L-O-O-P-E.
Loop.
A loop.
Wow, very well.
A jeweler's loop.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day. Well, almost every day.
I did not know.
At
least on Sundays.
On this show.
We try. Sometimes.
But you'll always get a number two on Sunday.
Well, not always. Not always.
Sometimes you get a double flush.
That is true.
That is true.
It averages out.
In honor of Mark Edge being around and also producing this show tonight, I would like to go to our next story. This from thesmokinggun.com. Florida man.
Florida man games.
Age 46, arrested for road rage al dente.
Ooh. Al dente.
Road rage al dente? You mean the...
Like a dent in his car?
If you throw it against the wall, it sticks?
Al dente. Is spaghetti. That,
okay. That's how you're supposed to test your pasta, right?
Is that al dente,
You throw it on the ceiling.
I think so.
If it sticks.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Al dente is still a little chewy. I don't know if it'll stick if it's a little chewy.
I think it will.
Okay.
I think
I don't throw my food in the kitchen. I just kind of taste it and go like, that's al dente.
I've got a wall that just has like little spaghetti marks.
Open. Okay.
I don't. It's all right. Not true.
with the date on each one. Like, oh, yeah. That's good.
The victim in the drive-by attack, cops say.
Drive-by?
Wait a second. Drive-by? What did he do?
It's a noodle gun.
Florida man, age 46, arrested for road rage al dente. The victim in the drive-by attack, cops say, was hit in the arms, legs, and torso by a road-raging Florida motorist.
So that's why Mark flee to New Hampshire.
We all wonder why he's back.
Yeah.
We know now.
Kept driving.
46, way too young for Mark, though.
But the male escaped without injury because he was only struck by pasta with sauce.
What if it was hot sauce? Burned his arm.
According to a police report. Cops allege that Nolan Goines, age 46, was involved in a road rage incident over glaring headlights Thursday night while driving near his St. Petersburg residence.
Can you even claim an injury without provable damages? Like, he wasn't even hurt.
He was injured by the headlights?
No, he got hit by pasta, said there was no injury. So, like, what's the arrest for?
Just hit with pasta.
The road rage incident was over glaring headlights.
Well, yeah, I get that it's criminal, but I'm just saying, you know, usually with those things, you got to like prove damages and that you were injured in some way.
You've been assaulted by pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't hurt.
I mean, if somebody comes up and just kind of lightly slaps you across the face.
With pasta.
Have you been hurt?
It might sting a little bit.
Right. But I'm just like, let's
I'm
say,
not injured.
Let's say it didn't really sting at all, but okay. You got slapped nonetheless.
Yeah.
Is that still assault?
Yeah. It's probably technically assault,
that's
but
battery,
like, I am I going to call the cops over it?
Okay, I get that, but wouldn't you call him over getting hit with pasta?
Depend if it didn't hurt.
If you're in Florida,
headline. If you're in Florida,
if it didn't hurt, I'm probably not calling anybody. I'm the only person I'm calling is that dude, a bitch.
Call the restaurant.
We'll talk more about the. I don't even know what to call this guy. The al dente assault
al dente.
Victim.
Al Capone Dente.
The Florida man. Coming up here on Free Talk Live. Plus more of your calls and thoughts. And maybe some more fun stuff. Stay tuned. It's Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Talk Live, 603-283-6160. That number again, 603-283-6160.
Oh, that number again,
It's a letter.
It's a letter.
Oh.
Is that your O face?
If things go my way, I'll be showing her my O face.
Oh.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. We have a caller on the line, and of course, we need to do something for.
Keeps calling, talking about evolutionary capitalism. I don't want to pick up, but it's a call in the radio show.
steer around with some more.
Hang on, we're going for the LP version.
Sitting here waiting for the next question. But all we get is Skeeter's conspiracy obsession. He thanks the world's a big old government scheme. Well, it's just another day on the radio, it seems. Colin Skeeter.
That's right. That's it. Hey, Skeeter, turn down your phone, man.
Turn on your radio.
Or your radio, yeah, not your phone. Turn on your radio. Skeeter, come on.
Is he playing his own theme music now?
He is, yes. He's playing it back for us like 7 seconds later or whatever the delay may be.
Yep. That's Skeeter, a faux pas. That's a radio faux pas.
Are you there?
Yeah, extremely gullible. You hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. What's on your mind?
Why are you guys so gullible? Why do ant crabs?
Why are you so gullible?
Like bare arms, Christopher Gronsky, David Champion, and the sovereign citizen, Jay Noon. Trusting your boy, the evolutionary capitalist. You guys owe income taxes as federal citizens of this Homeowners Association of the United States of America. I have a law degree from University of Phoenix, which is better than a degree.
No, you don't.
From that vending machine you call Gonzaga University.
That's great.
At least he's being funny today.
Why do you guys entertain that bull stuff?
Well, because free speech, right? Free speech requires
you're encouraging your listeners to tax.
Hey, you asked a question,
you
buddy.
That, right?
Pal, I'm trying to answer your question.
Friendo.
Thank you. Okay. The answer to your question is free speech means that all viewpoints should be able to be heard.
I want to also go on record and I've said that if you try those things you will likely fail. So I don't know how gullible you think I am.
Do you bring on fraudsters to pitch their Ponzi schemes? Well, if, you bring on
yeah, Sarah calls in all the time.
Damn pyramid schemes, don't you? Well, is that what Free Talk Live is?
Have you heard Sarah call in? Richie Rich makes that point, Skeeter. Have you heard?
Yeah, I've heard her call in, but.
No, I'm sorry.
Butta.
You can't use Major Payne's terminology.
You just said butta.
I'm sorry.
Butta.
I can't. No. No. Nope. Nobody but Major Payne gets to use that one. Sorry. Unless we're making fun of Major Payne and we do it.
So here again, this is personal experience.
I hung up on him.
I know. Okay. But for everybody else still listening, some of what they say.
Who's they?
Dave Champion, oh, okay. Chris Gronsky. The other ANCAPs.
Bare arms for that matter.
Right, whatever, yeah. Right, yeah. Some of what they say is based in truth.
Yes.
Long ago, right? Like at one point in time, if you did not cross the bar in the courtroom, they may not have had jurisdiction, right? And a buddy of mine, he just telegrammed me a couple days ago, said, I got my case thrown out. I challenged from without passing the bar and not going through. And, you know, this was like a month-long process of going back and forth. This was like COVID stuff when he had to zoom in. Mm-hmm. He's like, they just threw it out.
Wow.
I tried all these things, and they finally just threw it out. I don't know why they threw it out. And I went, well, it's probably not from all the garbage things you tried, right? There was probably something else in there that allowed
technicality
them,
or something.
Well, something.
Well, yeah. Or.
But they will take credit for it.
Or. They were just tired of dealing with him and were like, you know what?
Yeah.
Either way.
He's wasted it's way just, more of our time than we ever thought he could, and so we're tired of him.
Either way.
Throw
but though they will get victories, and they will attribute those victories to the methodology that they espouse, right? Even though it has nothing to do with it. Now, personal experience, right? I have gone to court, and one of the things that I do when I go to court is I don't say or pronounce my like legal last name.
Okay.
They call my name, and they say, like, what's your name? And I go, I am Rich. And they go, and what's your last name? And I tell them how they spell it. And I go, you guys spell it like this. And at one point in time, like, you know, the judge was having none of this.
Oh.
Right? He said, stand over there. And so I stood to the side. And he called my name and the legal entity again.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm here, right? That's your name for me. I'm here. He's like, shush, shush, shush. Like, shush, shush,
shush, shush, shush, please.
And I went, all right, well, let's see where this goes.
Okay.
Right? And so he called the name like a third time and then declared in court for the court record that the entity was not present. My the legal fiction, the corporate all cap spelling of my legal name was not there. And then he's called me again, Rich, like approach. Do you appear on behalf of the legal entity? I went, yeah, let's see where this goes. And the legal entity has been fined or whatever. And are you going to do the community service on behalf of the legal entity? And I went, sure.
Oh, you did.
Well, this is the first time for me, man. Like,
oh, you know, right. Yeah. Like,
why didn't you say no?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see where this was going.
Okay.
Right. Right. Like, if it happens again, I'll probably say no, just to see where it goes. That, you know, this is a fork in the road.
Like, I just kind of know you a little bit, and I'm thinking Richie Rich doesn't want to be doing this.
I don't want to be doing it. Yeah. But when they go to arrest the legal fiction, they're going to put handcuffs on me. Right.
Because you represent. The legal fiction that is whatever. Like, okay,
whatever. Yeah. But this was a new fork in the road,
right.
And I went one way, and if I get to that fork again, I will take the other path.
It's like playing Candyland.
Right, yeah. Shoots and ladders, right? Sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down. But so I literally, by the court's own records, did the human being Rich, right, did community service on behalf of the legal fiction.
The legal name. Yeah.
Of how they spell my name. That's on the record somewhere in Hawaii.
Wow.
Right?
So that's precedent.
I don't know if it's precedent because this is probably something that's established long ago in the 1800s or whenever Hawaii became a state.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1900s. But either way.
57? 59?
58. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I was told there'd be no math.
But point being, with the English tradition.
Right.
Right. Like, some of this stuff seems to be legit. And I have personal firsthand experience of some of it being legit in some form or fashion. Now, did I get away with anything that day? No, I still did the community service.
Yeah.
Right? So, like.
But you have firsthand knowledge.
But I have firsthand knowledge. Yeah. So the judge is probably thinking, well, this will get him to do the community service without putting up a fight.
Right.
He gets to have his little, you know, fantasies about the sovereign citizen movement.
Ha 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 joke.
Right. Yeah. And that was his way of just pressing it through.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's likely, objectively, that's likely what happened. Right, but if I'm a sovereign citizen, I go like, look at this. They clearly separated the legal entity from the man.
There's
something to this, right? And then they go down the rabbit hole and they dig deeper and they come up with weird old theories that sometimes work and sometimes don't. Right. You know,
so you've got that on your side.
Sure, but when it works, there's no consistency of when it works that you can attribute back to the technique that they're using.
But if you did not do the community service for the legal name, they would have taken you out in handcuffs.
They would eventually come back for the man.
Right. Right.
They would like, legal entity, you are under arrest. And I'd say, well, I'm not the legal entity. Well, we're going to arrest you on behalf of the legal entity.
Right.
And I'd get arrested nonetheless.
Right.
Right.
Right. So what difference does it make?
Yeah.
You know, they've got the guns and the cages,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to end up there at some point if you fight them properly, you know, if you fight them improperly enough.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. So we entertain the theories because they're great in theory. They're terrible in practice.
Right.
Right. Bear arms, you know, for all of his claims, right? Like, I don't pay taxes and here's the documents that I filled to get out of it.
Right.
Go ahead, fill out the documents. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
The worst that can happen? Jeez.
Yep. Well, you fill out the documents, they go like, this is BS. Pay your taxes.
Right. Right. So that's the worst that could happen. You got to pay, and then if you don't pay, well then.
Right. Yeah. So you might as well try everything at your disposal
to get out
to be able to minimize the damage that the state's going to do to you. When you get attacked by the state, you're going to lose no matter what.
Right.
Now, how much of a fight do you want to put up? You want to put up enough fight to like take the minimal amount of damage that you can. Right? The state is capable of doing the greatest damage to you, ending your life. Right?
Right.
So, you know, anything less than, you know, or not anything less, but like you want to minimize the damage as much as possible. You're going to lose. You're not going to win when you go against the state. It's just how it is.
But if you have a $10 parking ticket or a $20 parking ticket and you contest it, you've already used up $20 where that money would have gone to, you've wasted it from the state.
You seen the footage of Bonnie's contesting? Yeah.
Same
exact thing.
So if you owe $5,000 in taxes, well, then tie them up for $5,000 worth of their services.
The trouble is you're also tying yourself up for that period of time.
Right.
And your labor is not free.
Yeah. And would they charge, like if they found you guilty of owing the money, would you have to pay for their lawyers to like, oh, well, you know, the legal fees to sue you owe us.
depending the 5,000 plus the judge back. Finds, like, you know, in a lawsuit, a judge can find you liable for the expenses of whoever had to bring the suit against you.
So you've got the high-paying government lawyers that, that rack up $200,000 worth of services for a $5,000 tax bill, and now you're on the hook.
Right.
I don't like that. Yeah, like, I like the $20 parking ticket.
Like when Bonnie contested her ticket, like, the wage of the person who was giving the tickets was revealed during the trial. I think it was $25 an hour.
Right.
I think the ticket was 20 bucks, right? So, like, bucks. 1 hour of this person's time
has cost the city
cost the city, like, because now the judge's salary, the prosecutor, the bailiff, right? The people demand the building, the electricity, you know, all that stuff.
The records department and all
that. And so, like, somebody did some napkin math and, like, yeah, this trial alone for Bonnie to contest her parking ticket was something in the, you know, $10,000 range, depending on how you calculate who was all involved and who had to spend time there, what their wages were approximately, right?
You got to bring the meter maid in to, you know, testify or whatever.
The meter maid was $25 bucks an hour.
I will leave you with two quotes from the founders that kind of stay with me eternally, but also somewhat applicable here.
Let us heareth the quote.
The quote. The tree of liberty will be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. That's the full thing. Patriots and tyrants, not just tyrants.
Right.
Right. So there's you're going to have to sacrifice a little
bloodshed
bit.
Bloodshed on both sides.
Bloodshed on both sides. So is it going to cost you to go to court? Yes.
Yeah.
That's part of the sacrifice, man. If you're going to fight for freedom and fight for liberty, sacrifices must be made. And the second one, in conjunction to that, is the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, which means this goes on forever.
Yep. Right.
Right. The tyrants are not going to stop.
They will not stop.
You cannot stop either. You can burn out. You can leave the state. You can come back in a few years refreshed, you know, after being in Pennsylvania or wherever you have to go to, like, get out of the Free State Project, you know, because you're burnt out doing activism.
Right.
But someone has
to come back.
Someone has to take their place, and you have to come back refreshed.
Right.
Right. You tag out. You tag back in. But the price for the freedom that we're trying to establish is eternal vigilance.
Right.
The struggle goes on, and there's going to be bloodshed on both sides. So, yes, you know, you take one to get one, or you take one to get three, right? If it's going to cost them, you know, $15 an hour to bring all three people in, and it's only costing you, like, half a day's worth of work,
right,
for you to go in, or an hour of your time, right? You're still on the plus side of that equation, even though you're losing, and the hope is that you'll get other people to do that, too. Right. So every activist loses a little and the state loses a lot.
Right. And if you can multiply that by every city that charges for parking or parking tickets
or anything.
Well, then when you go to court, you park without paying the meter and then get another parking ticket and you just keep coming back. It could be a regular thing.
Again, I shared this before. When I was in Hawaii, they passed a law that said, like, no texting while driving. And people were texting and driving and they got caught.
Yep.
Okay. And so the court was filled with people who were texting and driving, so much so that they cattle called them. They brought people up, like, five at a time, and they said,
"You all are guilty.
You all are guilty." That's what they said. If you want to challenge this, step back, and we will bring you up separately at a later time. If you're not going to challenge this, your fine is $100. You're out. And then they called five more people up, right? Just five at a time.
And no one
stood
back.
4 hours in the morning.
No one jumped back.
I saw one, maybe two people stand back together.
And if they all jump back.
But if they all jump back, they got to put on a trial for 100 people, right? For $100 fine. But no, everyone, like, I just want to get out of here.
I
just
want to
go. I'm going to pay the $100.
Right.
Sorry, sir. You know, you see.
So it's legal at a cost.
It's legal at a cost. But you see, like, the veterans, they show up in their military uniforms, right? And they're like, please. Like, have mercy on me. I've served my country.
Right.
And they go, oh, yes, but for your service, you will waive it this time.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever. It's a crock. But that's the thing, right? If everyone takes a step back, they can't do anything.
Right.
They're hamstrung by their own process.
It's like the bug's life.
Yes.
You know, like if the grasshoppers, well, if one ant stands up, they're all going to stand up. And then the jig is up.
Yes. But one ant stands up, right? Like, I stand up. I do community service on behalf of the legal entity.
Yeah.
Does that even register in the brains of everyone who comes behind me?
No.
Not a chance.
Right.
Right.
But
they
you need
get
some,
up there,
some
they
mass thing like that, like the texting and driving.
You need some mass
or red light cameras or whatever the case may be.
Well, you need a mass thing, but you need a mass thing where people already know that going in.
I am very surprised that in the age of the internet, particularly early on, do you guys remember flash mobs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Now, I was particularly surprised that there weren't more, let's call them political protest flash mobs, where, like, no one knew. It was like the day of, right? Yeah. So they're like, okay, we're doing this thing. Everybody meet at blah, blah, blah at, you know, 7 p.m.
Red Square, 420.
Mob, the Jefferson Memorial wearing headsets. We're going to dance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Flash mob type thing. Like, I'm surprised
they get body slammed by security.
That there wasn't, well, okay, but, like, I don't know that that was a flash mob, right?
Okay. I mean, it was planned.
It was planned.
Yeah. Okay.
But, like, I'm surprised that there wasn't more of that, particularly at the peak of flash mobism, if that's a thing.
Because they turned it into robbing liquor stores.
Right. So right now, yeah, flash mobs were in Philadelphia basically taking down gas stations and
I must have missed that somehow. Philly?
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I mean, I'm using Philly
as an
example.
Not a high crime area anyway, like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but now imagine, like, one guy going, like, hey, we're going to rob the liquor store at noon tomorrow. Everyone come join us.
Right. Well, I mean, you see the flash mobs in, you know, in California. They run into Bloomingdale's. They take whatever they can, then they're all out. Or Apple stores or whatever the case may be.
But are those internet-coordinated flash mobs?
I mean, they're not coordinated by smoke signal.
They're not?
No. Where have you been, Captain?
They're using modern technology to organize these things. I presume most of that communication goes over the internet.
I just dug a fire pit in my yard for smoke signals.
Oh, so that's how we all know to come here on Sunday night, right? We look at the other.
Sure, the reservation in North Dakota is ready to get your communique.
They've intercepted smoke signals from the captain. Here they come.
The wind blows too hard, turns a dot to a dash, and the communication is all screwed up.
People go to the wrong place. Why did they flash mob the coffee shop? Circling back to the Florida man arrested for road rage al dente.
Oh, okay. Forgot
all
that
about story,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you did. Cops allege that Nolan Goines was involved in a road rage incident over glaring headlights Thursday night while driving near a St. Petersburg residence. The defendant threw food, pasta with sauce, from the passenger seat of his vehicle, striking the victim through his open window as he operated his vehicle, reported a sheriff's deputy.
So he wasn't even going, he was going the same direction as the guy with the two bright flash lights, headlights?
Yeah.
Why is that even bothering
him? His passenger side? Like, what, did he get in the other seat and throw it out?
Because if it was crossing paths, he could have just threw it out the driver's side.
Maybe he turned around and, you know, there's a couple of lanes or something. I don't know.
You almost blinded me.
Here, take this, Chef Boyardee. Have a can of this.
Contadina, save me. It's in there. It's like Prego.
It's in there.
Goines was found with the same food stains on his right sleeve as the male target of the pasta pelting.
They did a forensic analysis.
How much did that cost the state?
They had some guy to lick both shirts. Yep, that's the same sauce. Seen at night, Goines was charged with battery, a misdemeanor, and booked into the county jail. Goines, who was freed on a $1,000 bond, is a painting contractor whose rap sheet includes convictions for selling marijuana, obstruction, and battery twice, as well as a multitude of traffic infractions. Investigators.
So he just has road rage.
It sounds like it.
Late for work.
And apparently he's self-medicating with marijuana.
You think that would calm him down?
You would think.
Just let him do the drugs.
It probably does. He probably just wasn't high at the time, right?
Well, if he was high, he wouldn't be throwing away his pasta. He'd
be like, no, man, this is
why
a snack.
Why does that truck have four headlights?
Oh, my gosh. Investigators did not identify the kind of pasta or sauce used in the alleged attack.
That would destroy the restaurant's reputation.
Right. We're waiting for forensic results.
Or tarnish the brand name in some way. Right. You know?
Prego was used in this one. That Rago gang down the street is going to be furious.
Was it Barilla pasta?
Barilla.
Does it get any cheaper than that?
I don't know. Barilla, I guess much cheaper. Barilla is like medium, mid-shelf pasta.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Store brand.
I'm spending too much.
Probably. It's also unclear if Goines was transporting his dinner or leftovers home or whether he regularly travels so armed.
We want to know.
Uber Eats driver, and now there's someone hungry too.
I can't wait for the follow up of this story.
That's
see what happens. To the
smoking
pasta.
Gun is on it. Yeah. Journalists.
Yeah, they're on it.
Oh, man. Food fight, road rage.
Have you ever been in a food fight?
In school, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, they used to break out. I'm not regularly, but like...
you throw something at someone and...
I distinctly remember a food fight breaking out in like sixth grade in the cafeteria. And, you know, it was like crappy lunch day anyway. They had something that most people didn't like anyway. And everybody's trying... I don't know about you guys, but when I was in like the middle school... People would barter with their lunches.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it was currency. Like, you had a dessert, you would try and barter it for somebody else's, like, you know, potatoes, or if it was pizza day, you're like, can I get half your pizza? I'll give you my cherry tart or whatever. Right.
I once ate two school lunches in five bites just to get an Oreo cookie.
Whoa.
Ah.
It's like, I'll bet you if you finish this in five bites, you get an Oreo. I'll give you an Oreo.
No.
Deal.
Deal.
And then you did it?
Of course.
Good man. 603-283-6160. Did you get into food fights at your school? Have you thrown food at somebody else on the highway? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is coming up. I mean, it can get worse.
Yeah, I'm sure it can, but like...
It will.
Right
we
now.
We are here, as a matter of fact.
This is our last segment, so it won't get worse.
Hey, we saved the
next
best
week.
For
yeah. Oh, next week. Okay.
It's Free Talk Live in the studio tonight. It's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on, I want to say thank you to Shooty. That's right, Shooty. Shooty is tonight's amplifier. Shooty is a silver level amplifier. Which means Shooty gives us $5 a month. Why would Shooty give us $5 a month other than because we're entertaining?
To hear the name pronounced in the Sean Connery.
Shooty. it's Shooty is our amplifier. No. Shooty gives us $5 a month because Shooty likely believes in spreading the message of freedom, which is what we try to do here on Free Talk Live. We try to come at things from the perspective of liberty, peace, prosperity, things of that nature. We try to look at things with logic and reason instead of emotion. And so if you would like to help us get on to more radio stations, help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live, please become an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. It's kind of a Patreon type of a setup. We only ask for $5 a month. You can give more. There's different levels. There's little perks that go along with the different levels.
We should open up a comment section for the platinum level. As long as you're going to read their name, you can read like a message that they'd like to get out there.
Well, I'd rather have people call.
I get it.
We used to have the amp only call in line, now that's homogenized now with the regular call in line. So, yeah. At any rate, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Shooty. We appreciate you. All right, let's go to some of calls
it's a reasonable
and thoughts.
Perk. Like, you don't have to call in and say like one line. Like, shout out
you
to
get
Bob.
You get the captain's cell phone number.
Well, let's not get too carried away.
Hey, when you're running Richie Talk Live, you do what you want. All right? Let's go to your calls.
Don't
and
make
thoughts.
Me compete with you in the free fair market.
We have Shane calling from Tennessee. Shane, you're on Free Talk Live.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I just figured I'd call in and give you an update since the last time I called.
Can you recap the last time you called for the listeners who didn't hear?
And the first time you called.
Yes. The first time I called, that was the first time I called.
Oh,
this is
okay.
My second call.
Update.
First time I called, I wanted to make sure that y'all were not an AI put in by the government to track us all down, you know?
I'm pretty sure I'm not.
only the songs I produce for chronic callers.
Okay. Well, I, as I told you before, I was recently released from federal prison. I'll talk to you about that and some of the things that went on in the federal prison, because I know a couple of your guys went to prison.
Yep.
Over some stuff. Right?
All right.
Over nonsense.
Yep. Over nonsense. Yep.
In our case.
Yeah. Over nonsense. So after that call, About, I don't know, a month or so later, the Halfway House, which is, you know, supposed to be a nonprofit organization that houses prisoners to help them readjust back into prison, decided to violate me, and they sent me to the Memphis penal farm for 65 days. That was the end of my time. So I was down March 21st. I was completely released except for my probation.
Okay.
So now the phone I'm calling you on has government monitoring software on it.
Oh, good.
So everything I do, text, chat, email, whatever, it all gets sent to this company and then gets sent to the probation officer so they can review it and make sure I'm doing nothing illegal.
Hey, everybody, say hi to the feds.
Hey, hello.
Hi, feds.
Hey, how are you? Hope you're having a good time.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So when I got out of the penal farm, the probation office paid for me to stay in this other halfway house for 3 months, and this place is a dump. This place is run by some former bosses who charges these guys $900 a month to stay here.
Wow.
And 80% of their food stamps the first month, and then $150 a month for the rest of the months that they're here. And he feeds them cereal in the morning, bologna sandwiches in the, for lunch, and then usually just some stored together kitchen sink stuff for supper.
You know, this reminds me of foster care, where somebody decides to get on the government gravy train, collect a check from, you know, the government of one flavor or another to provide some sort of a service, but to maximize their profits, of course, they do things like you describe, where you get the cheapest, worst experience that you could have.
Yep. So he gets $900 from 25 guys that stay here a month, plus their food stamps.
So what's the alternative?
For me and a lot of the guys that are here right now would be living on the street. They have about four blocks away. There's a place called Tent City.
Okay.
Where a bunch of homeless live, and that's the only other option.
A that's lot that of the famous here, Queensryche song, Tent City Women.
Okay. So, I mean, I get that it's government run, and I guess it's relatable to foster care, right? But if it's like, if it's the best alternative you can choose from, right, then is it really all that bad?
I mean, rather than being on the street, it's not that bad. Because okay. I've been on the streets before, but he's not government. It's not government run. He's a private individual who has it listed as a 501c.
Right.
Well, but if he's collecting $900 a month from the state to care for you,
he's an NGO.
Yeah, I mean, government doesn't actually do anything. They just subcontract all the work to other people.
I get
people.
It. But if he's, how do I want to phrase this?
I don't know.
He's the tenants are not paying him, right?
The government is paying.
The government is paying him.
Right. Yes. Right.
So
each of the tenants. The way it works is when the guys get out of prison. In the state of Tennessee, they have something called a RPH program, something that pays for them until they get a job.
Okay.
Once
okay.
they get a job, they have to pay themselves.
Okay.
Or if they're on like disability, like I would say half of these guys are on disability.
So is there no place, if you're paying for yourself, is there no place with cheaper rent than $900 a month and a whole bunch of food stamps? Like, why is the alternative the street?
Well, a lot of places around here won't rent the felons.
Okay.
The one motel that will rent the felons is $900 a month too.
Right.
And it's usually full all the time.
Well, so, and like felons have a much more difficult time finding employment than anyone else.
I get it.
Oh yeah, I done went to 12 jobs interviews from Indeed.com, and as soon as I tell them I'm a felon, I don't ever get a call back.
Yep.
Here's the beauty about low-paying jobs. They're not going to check. You ought to just lie and get caught later after you collect a few paychecks.
That probably violate the parole. Feds, maybe.
Exactly. In the federal probation, you have to tell the employer that you're on probation.
And they're going to. If I'm not mistaken, the employer also has to sign a thing, too.
Okay.
Right? That, like, acknowledges that you told them in some way.
All right.
What about creating your own job? Like creating your own business or like I have no idea. I mean, like any handyman skills or you know, mowing lawns or.
Well, I'm a chef by trade before I went to prison. That's what I did. The biggest thing is before I left prison, I was in a medical transport van and they almost wrecked and it hurt my back. And so now I'm unable to lift anything over 5 pounds right now. So I can get that situation if medical can take care of it or not. But then I have to get insurance, which, you know, right. The government insurance, don't know what they're going to pay for.
Right. Yeah. I have no advice for you other than, you know, good luck, man. Like I feel for you and I hope you find a way out of your predicament.
Oh, I will. I just wanted to call in, give y'all a follow up and find out how your friends are doing.
Well,
you know, they're doing okay.
Ian has been moved officially into federal custody now. He was only in county custody in New Hampshire for basically this entire time up until a week or two ago. So they finally moved him into the federal facility in Devens, Massachusetts. It's the same facility that Aria is in. However, Aria is in the minimum security, and Ian is not. He's in a higher level of security, so they will have zero chance of, you know, even bypassing each other and waving at each other. Zero chance of any of that. We do expect Aria to be out soon. We don't have an exact date on that yet, but we hope...
less than a month?
Yeah, we hope it's less than 30 days is the current sort of vague description that we can tell you.
Well, I wish them the best, and I hope your listeners support them and keep supporting them. And as soon as I get on my feet, I'll do what I can, too.
Right on. And, Shane, feel free to call us and update us again. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah. I just want to say this about felons and employment. Like... there are already enough people having a hard time finding people. And I mean, businesses can't find enough people to work their businesses. If this guy's a chef and he's any good, I don't care if the chef's a felon. Why should I care if the chef's a felon?
If he wasn't injured, he could probably find a job in a restaurant as a felon. It's the injury that prevents him from lifting that's more likely to keep him.
Okay. All right.
Because when he said chef, I'm like, that's easy to get a job as a felon.
Right. But he's not going to be lifting those that Brontosaurus burger that's 5 pounds.
Right, or the, you know, the smallest bag of flour, I think, is 5 pounds.
Construction, day labor, that sort of thing. Like, felons all day.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're injured and you can't lift anything.
Yeah, but you work the salad bar, like cutting up lettuce.
I don't know if it's still true, but telemarketing used to be, like, the place that folks like that could go for an instant job. Now, it's tough to make that go, but you can at least collect some sort of a paycheck for doing so. It used to also be commercial fishing. Didn't care, but you had to be physically fit. So if you got a bad back, that wouldn't.
Telemarketing is probably going to be the best bet at this point for him in that realm.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to lift anything.
Yeah.
But the whole setup seems, you know, to me, if this is the best alternative, right, it's like the sweatshop argument. Right, like this is the best thing they got going, and no one's willing to help do any better. So, like, that's it. Yeah. If it's like, pay this guy, you know, what seems to be, you know, predatory rates, or live on the street, right? Predatory rates it is.
Yeah.
And you should be thankful that he's there, because if he wasn't there, you'd be on the streets and not have any other options.
Like the idea, though, of prison, you know, is obviously not being fulfilled, right? And that is that if you do something, somebody convicts you of it, you go to prison, you do your time, you get out, now you should be able to just live a regular life again. No, that's not true. You are literally a prisoner for the rest of your life, even after you get out, because you have that felony on your record, and now you can't do a bunch of things that you could have done without that on your record.
And there's no amount of time that'll get rid of that.
Right. There's no statute of limitations. Right.
You know, your record doesn't get...
You petition the governor.
You could, right? You could. Or you could run for governor, I guess.
Okay.
You know, and then
run for mayor of Bridgeport,
yourself.
Connecticut. Hey, you're a felon.
Or something, right?
You could be the mayor of Providence,
Rhode Island.
Not
the president at that point. You could be president.
Well, be the president.
Okay. If I ran for president, I'd pardon a lot of people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Russell Bricht. Ian Freeman, not necessarily in any order. Julian Assange,
Snowden.
What was the other one? The other whistleblower, Roger Ver. No, right. He wasn't a whistleblower, but I would certainly pardon Roger Ver. A number of people would be on that list, and you know,
all
in
the
fact,
J6 people. Who
in fact,
in
I would petition people to, like, hey, send a message to, you know, something, Mark at freetalklive.com. you know, with like, hey, why should we pardon you? You know, that kind of a thing. And collect, you know, and then just go, yep, these, you know,
clean the scroll.
You know? Start with the list from the Institute of Justice.
Right, yeah, among other places. We've got more calls to get to. Let's go over here to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I was riding the bus today, and I was talking to the...
Another one rides the bus.
Yeah, well, anyways, I was talking to him about my network marketing, and I gave him my business card.
Pyramid schemes on Free Talk Live.
Well, the lady behind me couldn't stand me talking to him about it, so she ran up to the driver and complained about me. I could tell. And then she plugged up her ears, and then she got off the bus stop, next bus stop. So technically, if I'm in the city property bus, I could have that kind of conversation, and nobody could put a stop to me. I think you know, she couldn't complain.
Probably why she got off the bus.
Yeah.
That's why she got it. But it's kind of, if I did that at the business, I mean, they could actually complain and tell me to shut up at a restaurant or something. I don't know what the rules are.
Private property versus public property is where you're going with this. Private property, you know, basically the owner, the manager of whatever the property is, a restaurant in your case is what you mentioned, can be like, sorry, well, we don't allow you to solicit or, you know, pimp your products here and ask you to leave. Whereas on the bus, you know, I'd be careful about saying that there's nothing they can do to shut, like, somebody can shut you up. Whether it's legal or not is a whole different story, right? I'd just be careful about, you know, getting assaulted because you disagree with somebody.
I mean, if you keep the volume down to your table, you know, how many business meetings are had at restaurants?
Well, like many.
That's a restaurant feature. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to kick you out for conducting business there.
Right.
Unless you're walking up to other tables and asking them about your product.
Yeah, I don't. It all depends, but like in this circumstance, I know she was annoyed. She didn't want to hear nothing, but she tried to complain to the bus driver, and then she plugged up all her ears. And she got off the next bus stop.
Yeah, I have a suggestion for you, Sarah. Go out and purchase an inexpensive set of earplugs and carry them with you. And so the next time you're on the bus and somebody, you know, does something like that, you can be like, "Hey, I'm selling these." And you can make a couple bucks off of the person who doesn't want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I just feel from her expression, I don't know if she got off the bus because of my conversation. Obviously, that she didn't believe nothing that I was doing.
I mean, either way, it seems like the most voluntary thing that happened, right? She complained to the bus driver. The bus driver did nothing. She left. You were not reprimanded in any way. And everyone just went on about their day.
And how do you know, Sarah? Go ahead.
I got off like 3 minutes later, anyway, to my destination. But whenever she got off, I got off in 10 more minutes or whatever. She got off. I got off in 5 more minutes at my stop, and that was it.
I have a question for you, Sarah. How do you know that she didn't simply go up to the bus driver and look back and go, "That's that Sarah lady who calls into Free Talk Live all the time"?
Oh, that could be it.
Well, how many people out of New Mexico listen to you guys' show, really?
At least 3.
Thousands. Oh. I would say maybe tens of thousands.
I mean, do you have a Geiger counter or something? Do you have like
Yes, we count all of the Geigers. HR Geiger is one.
I mean, there's Sarah, there's David. What was the other guy's name? Jet. Not Jet, but the guy who went to Ukraine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about him. That's at least 3.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, though.
Three doesn't represent 3,000 or 5,000 from New Mexico.
Clearly, you don't know how statistics work.
Or politics.
Or radio.
Or politics, for that matter. Like, does your governor represent everybody in the state?
Kind of majority. So, but the majority, and the same thing with the poll samples, it's a guesstimation, because it's a general, when they ask 100 people, that's supposed to, there's always a margin of error because there's always that 2%.
That's why it's hard to win at the Family Feud. It's that last answer with only two people said it. I mean, come on.
Sarah, don't you live with somebody too?
Right.
Who calls in from time to time? So that would be four. Yeah. If, because when you call in and you're on hold, you are listening to the show. So that's four at least in New Mexico.
Well, he's not listening, but I wish more people would listen from New Mexico because I would have more speeding cameras and red light cameras back. It seems like
well,
not
listening people to this show.
Well, then here's what you do. You get some business cards that say Free Talk Live and print 603-283-6160 on them and hand them out. And then more people from New Mexico will listen to this show, and then they'll hear what you have to say.
That's a great idea, Captain.
I will get in trouble for soliciting if I was to be on a bus route all day long, talking to people all day long from this route. Then I can get in trouble because I'm not having a conversation on my destination. I mean, they could cite me for that if I'm on a bus route back and forth, back into the same route for
just
8 hours.
Just sit in the back of the bus and
talk
to the degenerates.
I mean, make friends with the bus driver. Be friends with the bus driver. Then he'll just take you around anywhere you want.
Yeah, they love that. I just sit on the bus back and forth for a whole, and then moving my spots around. But yeah. See, I sat there. I was talking to a guy that was sitting right next to me, and I got off the stop, and he got up to say that was it. You know, so they can't. I'm just having a conversation with somebody. I'm not running around soliciting.
I mean, keep hustling, Sarah. Get that MLM going, and don't let the haters get you down.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Sarah. Feel free to call us again.
Please call.
Let's go over here to, we've got David in San Francisco. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, howdy. I'm glad you were talking about mass transit there. The best way to deal with high gasoline prices right now is to use mass transit. And
never.
So many of the right-wing call-in shows are just so opposed to mass transit that they would pay, I don't know how much you're paying up there, but it's close. It's over $6 a gallon out here.
I paid $3.35.
Yeah,
sure. It's
by having your own vehicle, that's freedom.
Yeah, don't let them take that away.
Believe it or not, David, a private entity was responsible for the largest reduction in transportation costs. You may have heard of this company. They're called Uber. As a ride-sharing app, when they came out, the idea was that you're already going from here to here. Why not pick up a passenger with you? And that actually did more to reduce congestion and all that stuff than any city's mass transit programs ever have.
Well, that's putting the gasoline on somebody else, but the money.
Well, you're sharing the cost, right? So now all of a sudden, your gasoline is cut in half.
No, colony economics, you're in New Hampshire, right? You're one of the 13 colonies. And the
special economics.
The big problem in 1776 was that all of the money was being sucked out of town by the corporation that ran the place. It was corporate state. It was colony economics. And right now, the high gas prices are being sucked either to Houston or to Saudi Arabia. And if you want that money to stay in your county and your state and your region,
you do what
you can to make sure that there are local jobs, and mass transit are local jobs. The other thing I was going to raise, you were talking with that other guy about the prisons. We used to call that the prison industrial complex.
We still call it that.
Oh, sure, yeah, and for good reason. Because, you know, they come up in many cases. You know, it was totally bogus charges, but they would keep you in forever.
They still do that. In fact, they come up with bogus charges to put you in prison. We talk about Ian Freeman, the founder of this program, very frequently. And, of course, there still has yet to be any legislation written about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So, in fact, anyone who's been prosecuted and jailed for anything related to cryptocurrency should be free until such a time that some legislation is passed and clarity is given. But that hasn't happened. Instead, the government has decided to invent bogus charges that have nothing to do with cryptocurrency to jail way too many people. And thank you for the call, David. We appreciate it.
And in Roger Ver's case, to charge him with tax evasion for years of unpaid taxes after he gave up his citizenship to the United States.
A decade after he gave it up. Like, he planned to give it up. He moved out of the States more than a decade ago.
Right.
Right. And then as soon as he was able to do so, he filed for expatriatism.
Right.
And that was a decade ago when that was finalized. He got.
Right. But they're saying unpaid taxes for like the year 2017.
Well, what they're saying, at least according to my information, what they were saying is that he paid the exit tax.
Yep.
He paid his corporate taxes.
Yep.
They're just saying he didn't pay enough, that he lied. And so therefore the math is wrong. And he actually owes now another $50 million. Huh. It's sad.
Jeez.
We're out of time. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Steve Classic, for joining me tonight.
Thank you,
Mark
Captain.
Edge, for being our producer tonight. If you missed any part of tonight's show, please find the archives over at freetalklive.com and the resources tab. Thanks and peace.
You want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate. Well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.